This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is 4:50. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen. Actually, I'll keep sharing my screen during roll call, just so, again, like we're still having people pop in. Kiara, could you please start the roll call, please?
Okay. Lila Abed Elmaji,
present.
Morgan Baker,
present.
Genevieve Bansaw,
here, thank you.
Katarina Bentley,
present.
Kayla Butler,
present.
Carlo Castillo,
present.
Uchenna Chukwukura,
present.
Lucy Contreras,
present.
Annette Gleiberman,
present.
Sonu Kapoor,
present.
Amari Lampert,
present.
Savannah Lim,
present.
Andrea Miramontes Serrano,
present.
Evan Moy,
present.
Estefania Perez,
present.
Tomas Renning,
present.
Kate Santa Cruz,
present.
Mardia Chardot,
present.
Lucas Smith,
present.
Claire Templeman,
present.
Valeria Valencia,
here.
Noah Watson,
here.
Salam Waldai,
here.
Valentina Shu,
here.
Johan Yuan,
present.
Raquel Zohar,
present.
Lucas Zumpano,
present, thank you.
Samuel Z,
present.
And Catherine Wong,
present. Thank you so much, Kara. Could we get a count of the voting members present right now, please?
29.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So the time is 4:52. We have 29 voting members present, calling the meeting to order. Let me rename myself. Sorry about that, y'all. There we go. Okay. I'm going to move forward with the items on our agenda for today. So first on the agenda, I believe, is the land grant acknowledgement. Let me pull that up in a second. Okay. So, sorry, it's somewhere in here. Okay. Following with the land grant acknowledgement, Kona University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Thank you all very much. Let us continue with the items on our agenda for today. I believe we have, I'll pass the mic over to EVP Watson for announcements and presentations.
Thank you, Kat. So first up, actually, Kat, is you. So I'm going to hand it back to you for your announcement and presentation.
Thank you very much, Noah. Okay, just a quick announcement presentation for you all. Wanted to give some updates on some initiatives that I've been encouraging SA members to work on, and I'll invite them also to share a little bit about these. So I have asked a group of SA members. I'm going to assume that that was not an intentional interruption. Okay. So going to give a quick update on an initiative I've been asking SA members to work on, which regards mental health telehealth, telehealth and care for international students. Currently, New York State licensing restricts any mental health or telehealth to be provided to students currently outside of the U.S. So we're working with the Office of Student Government Relations, which includes members of the SA like Lucas Smith, to see what we can do on the state level to advocate for increased telehealth access. In the interim, I have our students on the SA, Valentina and Johan, who have been working with international student organizations to see what is needed right now. I will invite members to discuss this during open microphone on resources for international students at this time. Okay. And then, so I'll pass the mic back to Noah for the rest of the presentation announcements for now.
Thank you, Kat. So next up, we have the Director of Elections, Mariah Adege, for a quick announcement.
Yeah, so some of you were at the exec meeting on Tuesday. Some of you, I'm sure, have seen the announcements that we've posted. I wanted to provide a little bit of context and background. So I motioned to remove our Vice President of Research and Accountability for two main reasons. One was because of the physical and emotional violence that I received from her at a hockey game, which I feel prevents her from being an unbiased and impartial chair of a committee that is focused on research and accountability. Furthermore, the position is supposed to be held by someone that, or the nature of the position is that anyone on the SA should feel comfortable going to this person with any type of internal conflict, any type of like backbinding mission, et cetera. And because of the past history that I know I've had from her, with her, there are a lot of SA members who are not comfortable going to her with their problems, given the racially charged incident that I had with her at a hockey game, an incident in which the police unfortunately were involved because of the physical violence that ensued. Furthermore, saying that I know that there's been some question about the fact that this happened in January and this was before she served on the student assembly. However, past actions do not, like your SA term is not void of actions that you've committed before your term, before your term started. And this rhetoric is the same rhetoric that's used to silence survivors of sexual violence and saying things such as like, oh, this happened before they were running for president or running for elected office, like don't let some action in their past like ruin their career. And we know that that's not something that we do or that we would want to support doing to survivors of sexual violence. And I think in the same vein, this, although this happened before she was serving on the SA, that doesn't mean that this is not a reflection of her character. This happened less than a year ago. And so I think that is still I guess it's still a credible argument to be used against her. And then further from that, she staffed her research and accountability committee fully of people of one political ideology, which the political ideology is not relevant, I don't think. I think that no matter what their political ideology is, a research and accountability committee that was created to be neutral, unbiased, impartial, et cetera, should not be staffed fully of members of only one political ideology. When confronted about this issue, she responded saying that she could not remove them since they've already been serving on the committee all semester and that there was nothing she could do. However, she has removed people from her committee in the past, namely Osai, who was arrested for sexual misconduct, abuse, harassment, et cetera. And that member was moved from the committee. And so I know that there is precedent not only in general for removing members, but specifically she has removed members. And so the fact that she was unwilling to hear the concerns of the executive cabinet on Sunday was also incredibly concerning. And further from that, it was concerning that she decided to staff a committee with people only from one political ideology in the first place. And so I do have, I'm not really comfortable sharing this. I do have documentation from Officer Lisa Van Horn from Cornell Police that was provided to me after the incident occurred at the hockey game. Further from that, I guess I shouldn't have to provide screenshots of interactions I've had with the police with the Cornell community. And the fact that I'm being discredited, I think is further like racially and gender-based like discreditation of my story. And I think that it's concerning that there are SA members who feel as though my story is not only not valid, but that they would choose the comfort of a white woman over the story of a Black woman who has experienced physical and emotional violence from another SA member. And so I guess with that, I'll close. I'm not taking questions or comments because I'm not looking to like sit here and cry in front of everyone on this call. But that is kind of the background. And if you'd like to look to our social media on both Instagram and Facebook, we've posted the executive committee's like official statement on this matter. Thank you. And I hand the mic back to Noah.
Thank you so much, Mariah, for sharing that with the entire community. Moving on our agenda, we have Uche for a short announcement and also a presentation. Thank you.
Hello, all. So this announcement is in regards to former Assembly Rep Dylan Anadkat. So essentially, on Wednesday, December 9th, the Executive Committee voted by a vote of 4-0-2 to remove Representative Anadkat for essentially what we can see as a dereliction of duty to the Cornell community and essentially high crimes against the student assembly, you know, mainly because he failed to maintain active membership in at least one student assembly committee. So there was consultation with the Vice President of External Affairs, Morgan Baker. She informed the executive committee that the former Representative Anadkat not only failed to accept the invitation to join the communications committee, but also never attended a single meeting. By VP Baker's own admission, at the time of the request to evoke Rule 3, former Representative Anadkat was never an active member of that committee or any committee for that matter. The Vice President of Internal Affairs substantiated these claims and further informed the committee that Anadkat was never an active member, and as such, the Executive Committee found the former representative to be in violation of our standing rules. So overall, the Executive Committee is pretty dismayed at the fact that there were 11th hour attempts by the Student Assembly members to falsify compliance with our standing rules. And Student Assembly essentially maintains the fact that we agree on the fact that the work that you do in the committees is one of the most important things that you can do as an assembly member. And by failing to do those, you are failing to be an effective representative on the Student Assembly. Okay. So I also have a presentation to give on the, you know, some updates regarding disarmament, the conversation of disarmament on campus, Resolution 11, and some of the things that have taken place since that topic or this discussion has started here on campus. So I'm going to share my screen and give a presentation. I also have co-presenters as well who will introduce themselves.
I'm Mariah. I just spoke, but I'll also be helping with this presentation.
Hi, I'm Kat. I'm a co-sponsor of the resolution. I'll still be presenting.
Okay. So this presentation is, you can see the name, it's regarding resolution, initially a resolution 11, titled Calling for the Disarmament of the Cornell University Police Department. So this presentation is just to give some updates about what has taken place. It is also important that we outline the events that have occurred since the inception of Resolution 11. We are hoping that today we can finally lay to rest all of the lies, the mischaracterizations, the secretive behavior, and bring to light the harassment against the organizers of Resolution 11, in addition to calling out the disgusting behavior that has not only been portrayed by certain members of the Cornell community, but also by our very own Student Assembly members. Okay. I can take it away. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just gonna go ahead and present. So essentially what we're gonna be talking about is the harassment of organizers. Many of you know that, you know, Resolution 11, the co-sponsors received a lot of backlash, including myself. I received harassment as a direct result of myself and others speaking out and advocating for myself and my communities. So such harassment has included malicious emails sent to the New York Times, Ithaca Voice, President Pollack, Vice President Lombardi, scholarship providers, professors, employers, and other parties relevant to co-sponsors, current and for my future well-being. I have received blatantly racist and homophobic posts on platforms such as Reddit and GreekRink, in which terms, phrases such as me being called a monkey, poopy, I've been called the N-word, in addition to speculation of organizers having AIDS were deployed and weaponized on these anonymous platforms. I've also had direct messages sent from troll accounts on Instagram and Twitter using violent and hateful language. And organizers have also received hateful messages during SA Zoom chats, including being told to fuck off and shut up by community members as they attempt to speak on Resolution 11. So, this next slide kind of shows you just a snapshot of some of the things that I've been receiving. So, I'll read one of them. This was a post put on the website GreekRink, where someone said, in case some people don't already know, someone I know got contact traced by Uche. He has been ranting on Greek life for supposedly being irresponsible, yet of course thinks the rules don't apply to him. Apparently, he tested positive for COVID and AIDS. So inconsiderate to give my friend both those diseases while knowing he is positive all along. I hope Uche is able to sleep at night. Also got an email sent to administration and all of my faculty, advisors, principal investigators, where it was said that Uche Chukwukere needs to be expelled from this university. In light of recent events, the past 2 years with violence on campus, we do not need a student that specifically calls harassment and violence against other students, especially with words and hate that includes, when we pull up on you, you will be real quiet. This is unacceptable behavior and creates a campus of hate and fear. In a time when college campuses and schools are dealing with news-making events where lethal and violent crimes are committed by hate-filled students, we do not feel safe at all with Uche verbally and explicitly stating that he will pull up on students on our campus. These death threats are, one, illegal, two, promotes a sense of fear and violence, and three, are clear signs of violence by a student against the general student body. In other words, he needs to be expelled. This is just a snapshot of everything that I've been receiving and the other organizers as well. Obviously, as you can see, this is pretty disgusting. All of these are filled with lies, and it is just a snippet of, the cost of being Black at Cornell, the cost of speaking out for marginalized communities here at Cornell. So just wanted everyone to be aware if you haven't already seen this. Is the next presenter.
Yes. I guess in the face of all of this, the SA has stayed quiet. Many outspoken members of the SA have stayed quiet as they witnessed their Black peers be harassed and ridiculed. And we find that quite concerning after we got unanimous support for a Black Lives Matter resolution last week. And so we're trying to figure out how you can be in support of Black Lives Matter, but not the Black lives that sit at the same table as you on the SA. Worse yet, the SA members who did not support Resolution 11 continued to say that they would like to hear from constituents and that they want to be held accountable and listen and uplift the voices of the people who elected them. And so we hosted a virtual town hall for 2 hours in which members of the community were invited to come and speak. Many of the opposers of Resolution 11 did not show up. However, at the town hall, we did have 200 people in attendance, 51 of which spoke in favor of the resolution. and 7 of which spoke against it. Many of the people who spoke up shared a lot of traumatic experiences that they've experienced with the police, holding back tears, etc., and their SA members were not there to listen to them, which is insulting and embarrassing. Next slide, please. So further, again, with this, the very same night or the next night after the town hall, the resolution, people against Resolution 11 took the time to write an op-ed condemning the student assembly and their actions, and again stayed quiet as they witnessed their Black peers be harassed and ridiculed. And we, again, just very confused how there's time for this, but there's not time to listen to your constituents, the constituents that you claim to support and voices that you claim to uphold. And yet you did not attend a town hall, but you somehow had the time to be writing opinion articles condemning us for holding people accountable for their wrong actions. I know that the decision to remove Annie was criticizing the people as well. And again, I'm confused as to why my story and the physical and emotional altercation I had with the VPRA was not taken seriously and instead written off as just some shoddy little personal conflict that should not have any bearing on the essay. So we wanted to start with some testimonials. Again, there were over 200 students who came to the town hall to talk to us. 51 unique speakers spoke in support of Resolution 11 and 7 spoke against it. Some of those people spoke twice or three times, but there were 51 unique speakers in support and 7 unique against. So we're going to go through a few quotes. The first is, in quote, "The SA members who oppose disarmament are really prioritizing the symbol of authority that is arming the police over the actual fear and safety of their fellow students," end quote. Another quote is, quote, "Much of this assembly reeks of privilege and either actively support the marginalization of our BIPOC students on campus, or they genuinely don't care," end quote. Quote, "We need to chip away at all systems of fear and oppression that are on this campus, and disarming CUPD does just that," end quote. "I urge all of you on the student assembly to re-vote to disarm CUPD. The student assembly was created in order to enact change that helps students, but if you're not voting for change, then it's the same as not having a student assembly," end quote. And then, again, "For those who oppose disarming CUPD, the only arguments I've heard are purely hypothetical situations. There's nothing hypothetical about the 212 Black people that have been shot by the police this year," end quote.
Continuing the resolutions, the testimonials that Mariah was just reading, I believe it's better to take away guns, which are violent tools, from cops who have the power to take someone's life, end quote. To the representatives that voted against disarmament, I think at best that voting pattern shows pathetic ignorance for issues of systemic racism in this country, and at worst it shows that you're willfully complicit in a system of violence that has killed and will kill and continue to kill hundreds of people, end quote. Disarming CUPD is the bare minimum that you could do if you truly care about BIPOC lives on campus, end quote. Next slide, please. And then this is the last slide for our testimonials. There are more CUP officers on campus than there are CAPS therapists. If we get rid of guns and use that money to get more Black and Indigenous therapists, that would do more to ensure the mental health of our peers, end quote. There is no amount of-
Hey everyone, for everyone who just joined, our speaker is late, so we should be here in about 2 minutes. So just hang on.
Lived experiences of Black students, end quote. You have the right to a free speech, but it's not suppression of free speech when the majority of people in the conversation disagree with you. We are literally trying to prevent students from being an advisor who has had to call EMS. I know that having CUPD present only escalated the issue, end quote. These testimonials show that there was an overwhelming positive response for the disarmament resolution that's been trying to get passed for over a month now. I'll pass off to the next presenter.
Okay, hi everyone, I forgot to introduce myself earlier. My name is Salam Waldai and I'm the current Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion Committee. So adding on top of everything that has been occurring that the other presenters just spoke about, the opponents of Resolution 11 on the essay, they created their own pretty much watered down version of Resolution 11, calling for reform rather than disarmament. And it's pretty much just piggybacking off of the hours and extensive work that BIPOC organizers have been working on for weeks now, I think more than a month at this point. And not only did they create this resolution, instead of, in order for resolutions to be presented on the agenda, it has to go through the appropriate committee. And instead of the appropriate committee in this case would be diversity and inclusion or the executive committee. And instead of choosing either of those committees, because they knew that it would not have passed in either of those committees, they chose to shut out diversity and inclusion committee out of this conversation, and they did it through communications committee. And communications committee, their communications committee is in charge of like the Instagram page, Facebook, the newsletter. It has no tangible connection to the disarmament at all. And so the chair of the committee clearly used her position to pass the resolution that she knew it would fail elsewhere. Diversity and inclusion committee were filled with queer, trans, people of color, and we were left out of the conversation. And it's quite frankly, I was very disappointed, extremely disappointed by that. Next slide, please. So in this slide, it just kind of like in case anyone doesn't believe, because at these days we have to prove everything. These screenshots, they're just provided to show that the fact that they truly did not take the time to include diversity and inclusion committee in this conversation. Well, first it shows that the reasoning for it was that communications committee originally, they were the earliest convenience, but diversity and inclusion committee literally met the same day. It was like around, I don't know if it was at the same time, but I know for a fact we met on the same day and no one reached out to me about being included in this conversation. No one reached out to anyone in my committee to be included in this conversation. Well, actually, no. No one reached out to me to be included in this conversation. Oh, sorry, I was reading the chat. Following that, originally, like the chair of the committee admit that they purposely did not do it through executive committee because they knew that the executive committee would not give the votes needed to get this resolution on the agenda. And then they edited the message to get that out so that way they wouldn't look bad, I'm assuming. But yeah, diversity and inclusion committee was completely left out of this conversation purposely because of the fact that it wouldn't have passed otherwise. And I was very disappointed by that. It was very disheartening that people of color were left out of this conversation. And it really goes to show who is this resolution for, who are you leaving out of the conversation, and why are you leaving them out of the conversation? You can go to the next slide.
We would also like to respond to the op-ed that the SA members who voted no had posted right after the town hall, would like to address this information. First of all, Kat Hwang has always been a co-sponsor for the disarmament resolution from day one, and in order to chair meetings, as it has been stated in prior meetings, she needs to be neutral, and she is within her right to talk to other co-sponsors of the resolution and community members who agree with the resolution. Sending out screenshots of communication between her and co-sponsors and community members isn't exposing her because she has every right to do so, and she has no financial stake in the resolution, and therefore she is not a conflict of interest. So any motion is complete, and rules support that we can provide information as we have in past meetings verifying that. I would also like to state again what Mariah and Uche did so great before, that the removal of both Annie and Dylan were done completely legitimately and would have been done regardless of how they voted on the resolution. You can move on to the next slide. I would also like to mention that I know that the SA members who wrote the op-ed referred to SA members who voted yes is the vocal minority. I think the town hall and also the fact that the resolution only didn't pass by one vote, that we are in fact not the minority, but the majority. I would also like to restate, as I did in the town hall, but for folks who weren't able to attend, even if the case of CUPD being disarmed, IPD or any armed police officer would not be roaming around campus. They would only have to do that if there was a missing persons or a felony. Any person that states otherwise is just fabricating like an Orwellian future where we have a police state, which isn't what this resolution is trying to get past. We'd also like to denounce a EMS community member who spoke at the town marks, how he feels uncomfortable as an EMS person handling someone in a mental health crisis, and how he feels as though he needs UPD to be armed. We would like to renounce those remarks and hope that no one else would like to amplify that voice, especially knowing the fact that we know that people with mental health issues and BIPOC people are the most likely to be brutalized by the police. I think that's the end of our presentation, right, Uche?
Yeah, that's the end. Thank you.
Thank you. We won't be taking questions, or we won't be debating this presentation. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on with our agenda then, we're now going to move into open microphone. So if any members of the community...
CP Watson, I'm sorry. I had two presentations I forgot, an announcement and presentation.
Oh, of course, before. Yes, Kat.
One of those really quick. I just wanted to wish everyone who celebrates a happy Hanukkah. Tonight is the first night, and I apologize for not addressing that earlier. I have spoken with SA members who do celebrate, and I understand that 6:30 will be a hard stop for some. And again, feel free to do so. That will be excused if you leave after 6:30. Secondly, thank you for the presenters for sharing. I do have two statements to present before the essay. They're not official legislative motions, which is why they're coming up during announcements rather than later in the agenda. Should I share my screen, or are there box links that can be shared right now? One of them is presenting the spring calendar, the spring meeting schedule for next semester for the essay, which needs to be discussed in the essay meeting, as well as a statement in support of Assembly Member Chukwukir, who just shared his experiences in this presentation. EVP Watson, do you know if there's a box link, or should I just share my screen with these Word documents?
Yeah, there's a box link for the statement, but not for the meeting. So I'll send the box link in the chat.
Perfect. In the meantime, I will share my screen for the spring schedule. Let's see. Alrighty. And this is just for SA members to view, or anyone who is interested. This had been tentatively tabled in the beginning of the year. Usually we're supposed to share the entire year's meeting schedule. Due to complications with COVID, the second half of the meeting schedule had not been determined. So today, or recently, ever since the academic calendar was finalized for the spring, we've gone through and checked these dates, and these are the dates that are scheduled in regards for our Thursday regularly scheduled essay meetings. I'm just presenting them before the essay so that we can all be cognizant of this. Do I have any questions? Then if you have a question that's specific to the schedule, could you please message me, as I know that we have separate hands for separate matters that will be addressed during open microphone, I'm sure. Okay. Seeing as there are no concerns, we will continue with the spring schedule. I'll stop sharing. And then the second thing that was just sent in the chat is, again, to be presented before the essay. It does not have to be voted on, but it is a statement in support of Assemblyman Chukwukir, who just shared his experiences. I'm happy to take any questions in regards to this specific statement. But if not, it will be something that the student assembly shares.
Kat, could you share your screen with that as well?
Oh, yes, of course. Does the box link work? I can also share my screen with you with this one as well. Just a second. Let me find the document. Okay. One moment, y'all. Okay, here we go. should be shared right now. Okay. Do we have any questions from SA members about this document? And again, the link is in the box. And if the box, I guess the box link is not working, Noah, let me know if there's anything that can be done there. But again, I'll leave the statement up right now. Okay, I'll leave it up right now. Let me know if I need to change the page. I have a question from a community member and I have a question in regards to the spring schedule. I'll address really quickly. Had a question from an SA member if dates were taken into consideration for finals in the spring. They were taken into consideration. I checked the calendar and finals start May 14th and our last meeting is the 12th. Unless they do something tricky with semifinals again, hopefully they don't throw that on us next semester, then it should work. Okay. I'm going to zoom in a bit as that is asked. And then I have a comment from a community member that I will recognize. Again, we have time limits, so it's at my discretion as chair to recognize community members. Zion and Sharon, I will allow, you have 2 minutes to speak, but also we have a very packed agenda, so please try to be brief.
This will take about 10 seconds. My only question is, in the presentation, they mentioned multiple students were harassed. I know other students that were harassed that weren't mentioned in the presentation. How come they're only calling it out about one assembly member or instead of all of the members?
Okay, thank you for your question. And I would also encourage any member who wants to present their own presentation on the harassment they've received to feel free to do so. Seeing as we don't have the documentation, that I personally haven't been shared that information, I encourage any member who wishes to make a similar presentation to do so when they have time. I have a question about the slides from another community member. I'm going to also scroll to the next page if that's all right. Give me a thumbs up.
Hey, Kat, I just put the new box link in the chat.
Amazing. You're wonderful. Thank you so much, Vice President Watson. Perfect. And then we have I'm going to stop sharing right now, actually, if the link is in the chat. I have a question about the slides from a community member. I'll recognize community member Gabriel Alteras.
Hi, thank you. I just had two quick things. I wasn't there for a lot of the meetings where a lot of this controversy is coming from, so I apologize if this may have been covered or something that I'm just misunderstanding. But I guess one thing I want to say is a question about with regards to the EMS comment and then the mental health issues and with regards to the armed police. I'm from a Jewish background, so it should come as no surprise that I have plenty of family members that are doctors. And as the obligatory nature for doctors, they all spent their time doing ride-alongs and doing EMS. And all of them have stories where there are issues where people under the influence of drugs or as a result of their depression or a variety of other mental health issues can get very aggressive, and very often armed security or some kind of armed presence there has been tremendously helpful. In the case of one particular family member of mine, has saved her life. So I just wanted to push back a little bit on the idea. I don't think it's necessarily to condemn people with mental health issues or any people who are unfortunately in a bad position or on drugs or something like that. I think it's just kind of speaking to a bit of a real situation that exists and that people are just trying to solve and can have a reasonable conversation about what's the best way to do that. So that was point one. And the second thing was...
Okay. Excuse me. I'm going to have to actually cut you off. So when you had a question about the slides... So right now we are presenting on the statements and the spring calendar. Mistakenly assumed that your question about slides had to do with the statement in itself. If you have a question about the slides, feel free to put your hand up on the Zoom thing. And that can be addressed during open microphone.
Apologies.
That's on me. I do apologize as well. I do also want to reiterate that the presenters did indicate that they would not be taking questions or comments at this time. So I think you can ask whatever you want, or you can respond however you want. They are not obligated to respond. But again, feel free to put your hands up in the chat. These will all be addressed during open microphone. Okay. So any questions about the statement? Bring us back to the agenda, y'all. Alrighty. So thank you all for previewing the statement. My thanks to all the assembly members for accepting these presentations. Alrighty. Okay. Back to Vice President Watson for the open microphone. And again, I would like to clarify for everyone that open mic is to address matters that are not on the agenda. Just something to keep in mind. I will also ask Vice President Watson to make sure he's keeping time. I know I forgot for the past two speakers, and I can assist in any way if needed.
Yes, so we are now going to go into open microphone. So if any member of the community wishes to speak right now, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Also, please make sure it's not having to do with anything on the agenda. There will be time later to discuss those issues. And yeah, I'll be keeping time. I'll meet you after 1 minute. So first we have Sean Patrick Kelly.
Yeah, hello. I just want to real quick, I mean, I know Uche doesn't have to respond, but I just wanted to ask kind of why he thinks it's the responsibility of these quote unquote silent student assembly members to like be addressing and calling out anonymous, you know, statements that are on like Greek Rake and stuff, like assuming that people are going on Greek Rake and checking these comments. Why is that their responsibility that they'd be, you know, punished for and called out for when, you know, they're just out here trying to defend themselves against Uche's own, like, you know, backdoor moves to try to remove them? I just kind of want to hear why he thinks that's on them.
Yeah, I don't mind responding to that.
That's up to VP Watson right now.
Okay, yeah, Uche, I'll also give you 1 minute.
Yeah, lol. How disappointing that you got on this call and that's the first question you ask. I think it's just very telling that not only are you a part of the same fraternity as Dylan, right? And so the fact that you're bringing up Greek Rank and you're not addressing the fact that I've literally been called homophobic slurs, been told that I've been spreading AIDS around the community, I've been called a faggot, I've been called a nigger, I've been called all these things, but yet you get on open mic and you think that it's appropriate and it's right. You think you're justified because I saw that smirk on your face and you probably thought you really did something, but you did nothing. So the reason why I put it out there is because I want everybody to know what the cost of being Black at Cornell is. And if you can't understand that, then I really have nothing else to say to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Uche. Next on our speakers list, we have Anna Hu.
So hi, everyone. My name is Anna. I am a junior studying psychology, and I am an international student from China. I'm here because Valentina, an SA representative, reached out to me about initiatives that support international student mental health. And I, with some other Cornell undergrads, I co-founded HIL, which is a student organization that provides mental health chatting support in Mandarin to Chinese international students. And as an international student myself, I believe there are a lot of unique mental health issues of international students that are oftentimes overlooked by universities and in the States, not only of the New York State constraint on telehealth support that was briefly addressed, but also, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to express intimate issues in a foreign language. Sometimes there are huge cultural stigmas associated with professional mental health. And not to say about the pandemic, where it's already a difficult time, but for many of us, we haven't been able to go back home for over a year. We don't have the family support. And sometimes our experience in the US is not understood by our family back home. So I just want to briefly introduce HIL, which is a service that we provide in Mandarin. It's informally structured as a peer chatting, and students could just book a time to chat with us through WeChat. And I'm being here, and all of us are trained by ears, and we're also international students ourselves. So I just want to, you know, be here to ask people to spread a word about our initiative. And I also hope that there could be more awareness raised on international student mental health.
Thank you, Anna. If you want, if you send me the WeChat username, I can put it in the chat so everybody gets it. Thank you for sharing that with us. Also, before we go ahead, open microphone, I want to remind you all that this is not a time to be commenting on anything that's on our agenda. That also includes like the announcements and presentations portion. So next we have Gabriel Altaras.
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to just kind of finish off the point from before. It shouldn't take too long. I just wanted to add that I think... Oh, sorry. sorry about that. We're all a little too quick to jump into the kind of bad faith assumptions that characterize highly contentious debates. And I've spoken to people on both sides of the disarmament, and I know that both were kind of angry and haven't talked about it publicly about harassment faced by individuals on each other's sides, but only talking about the ones on their own. And I think that while we're quick to jump into these kind of bad faith assumptions, we should just be a little bit more aware that I think that everyone really can agree that when these horrible things happen, they are terrible. It is horrific to face this harassment and be called those terrible names. And that's true for everyone. Everyone doesn't like to be called those names. And I think if we move back a little bit from bad faith assumption and a little bit more towards working towards something,
thank you, Gabriel.
Some kind of agreement, I think that would be a little more beneficial.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel, for sharing. Next up on the list, we have Connor Duncan.
Am I good to go?
Yep.
Hi. So I just wanted to briefly comment on all this. I'm actually an alumnus. Just completely not even dealing with the subject matter of the resolution, I just wanted to express my concern with the fact that several of these recall petitions seem to have been launched by other members of the student assembly as opposed to the relevant constituencies of the members against whom the petitions were launched. I think that that is a bit presumptuous in going out of the bounds of what is acceptable. And if the SA is to truly be representative, it should be the constituents of those members who are launching such petitions as opposed to other members doing it to seek retribution. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have Dylan. 1 minute.
Hey everyone, so I'm Dylan, for those that don't know me, I've been talked about just now. So as you know, last night the executive committee held a vote to remove my position based on me not being a committee. I'd just like to clarify the sort of series of events. So when I ran for the student assembly in March, I applied to the communications committee. Obviously in between then and now, COVID's happened, a lot's happened, we've all been through a lot. I've been in 21 credits, been extremely busy this semester. And in the midst of that, I almost forgot about the communications committee application. About a month ago, the communications committee chair sent us an email asking if we wanted to be, if we still wanted to be in the committee. I missed that email. I admit it, in the midst of everything going on, I missed an email. I wasn't notified of the meetings. I wasn't given a warning. I wasn't told that I was missing anything. I wasn't told that I was breaking any rules. I literally missed an email. That was my only crime here. I missed an email. As for my absences, they're being counted as absences because I know the president. So I
thank you, Dylan.
I just hope the SA can reconsider the decision.
Okay. Next on our list, we have Jennifer Reed.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot to address here, but I really want to spend a little bit of time on the accusation, or really the idea that people in a mental health crisis will comply because there's a baton in their face or a gun at the hip of the person who's next to them. As somebody who's been in a mental health crisis, who have had friends in a mental health crisis, I think that this has been used as a deflection technique, an ideological deflection technique, because I know personally that being threatened or being threatened to be brutalized or having violence against you will not help you in a mental health crisis. And especially since people, obviously have been pointed out before, in a mental health crisis are more likely to be shot and brutalized by the police, but also Black, Indigenous people of color in a mental health crisis are way more likely to be brutalized or shot by the police in this situation. So the idea that a gun needs to be in this encounter is false. You know that you wouldn't want the person in a health crisis to be hit or brutalized. So what's the reason for it to be there except to be an intimidation technique? So really, I think this is really just an ideological distraction from the point at hand. Everybody keeps jumping to different distractions over and over again, and this is just another one. So thank you.
Thank you. Also, I'll be closing open microphone in about 5 minutes, so just please keep that in mind. Next, we have Nayara. Just 1 minute, please.
Hi, sorry. Okay, so I just wanted to say that I think that the entitlement to the pain and trauma of Black, Indigenous people of color, and especially queer Black, Indigenous people of color, has been absolutely disgusting. You have someone on here burying their trauma. Literally, I'm trying not to cry because I resonate so much with this. And someone else comes in and is like, why isn't anyone else who we also know has experienced this? Why aren't they also offering their receipts, burying their trauma? That's disgusting. Why is this one person exemplifying this issue not enough for you when you already know other people are experiencing it? And this has been a pattern of behavior, including all the other meetings, and it needs to stop. People are specifically saying we don't take questions and comments on our trauma because it's necessary. And it's been repeated so many times that they're not taking questions and comments for this reason, and it needs to stop. It's disrespectful. And y'all should know better.
Thank you, Nayara. Next, we have Andres.
Yeah, hi. Hi, thank you. I'm Andres. What's up with the free printing in the whole semester and COVID and everything? I just want to know, like, did that get passed? How much like printing do we have per semester or whatever? Where are we on that? Thank you.
For that, I don't know if any assembly member also wants to hop in on this. This was before my time on the assembly, but my understanding is that it's our current student elected trustees initiative. Yeah. And I believe it's on him to follow through with that. Mariah, would you like to respond? Passed. 1 minute.
I was just going to say it was passed. I don't know if you have Instagram or Facebook, but we posted about it on our Cornell Student Assembly Instagram and Facebook pages. Let me just read off what exactly happened.
Thank you, Kat, for sending that in the chat.
Yes. So you get 200 free pages, which is $15. You get $15 credited to your account. Which is like 200 free pages every semester. It started like last month, November 12th.
Thank you, Mariah. And with that, we're going to move to the next person, who is Evan. Evan.
Just as a point of information, am I allowed to motion during open mic, or does that have to wait after?
Yeah, please wait until the microphone's closed. Thank you.
All right, I'll be making a motion after this open mic.
Okay. Next, we have William.
I wanted to
say 1 minute.
So the first, you guys said that the members who were booted off the SA were booted off because they violated the bylaws, but the push to kick them out for their violation of the bylaws only came after their votes against the resolution and after the petitions failed to recall them. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Samuel Chesser. 1 minute.
Hi, I'm Samuel.
Hi, Sam. We can't hear you.
Junior at Cal, make people aware of the Cornell.
Hi, Sam. Sam, can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. I'll restart your time.
Sorry about that. So, just for those unaware, Cornell Dining is changing their meal plans for spring semester, where the meal plan, you won't be able to alter it. And this will impact a lot of students. So I was hoping maybe the student assembly could exert some pressure on Cornell Dining and see if this isn't altered. This would really affect Greek life, especially. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Samuel. Andrea, you're the last one on before I close open microphone. So
yeah, I would like to respond to that. Could you please contact me and send me more information on that? I usually work with the dining department very closely.
Will do, thank you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's one more, and then after the last one, who's Christopher, we're gonna close open microphone. So Christopher, you have 1 minute.
I keep hearing people just talk about their personal stories of why they hate the police so much, but I just want to present you with some facts that you can't argue with, and feel free to fact check them. They're from the Washington Post.
Well, isn't this not supposed to happen in open microphone? Like, this is on the agenda. Okay. It shouldn't be happening during
open microphone. Why are you discussing this?
Okay, everybody, please.
It's my first meeting, so I don't really know.
I also just want to remind everybody in the meeting, that open microphone has nothing to do with what's on our agenda for today.
Yeah, this is just facts. It's nothing against nothing. I'm not going to talk about the resolution at all.
Okay. Well, you have 20 seconds left, so.
Well, first off, there was 9 unarmed black people killed in 2017. I have the numbers from 2017. 19 unarmed whites. And cops are 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black person than a black killed by a cop. So stop.
Sorry, point of order. Why are we allowing this white man to discredit this entire resolution, the whole reason why we're putting this up? Like, please be. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, guys, I'm going to cut in. I'm sorry, Vice President Watson. I know you have your open microphone. I want to make a very quick point of order. According to our security on Zoom, if you all cannot keep from interrupting one another, your ability to unmute yourself will unmute you as you are called upon, okay? I don't want to take that away from you. I just do want to highlight that this is a very basic rule on the floor. Please don't interrupt speakers.
Okay. And with that, we're closing open microphone. Kat, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Thank you so much to everyone who came during open microphone to share your thoughts. I know that we have a motion from Evan on the floor. Please make your motion. And I also do want to recognize that we have community members who are here for a specific resolution, which is the Annabelle's Grocery one. And I can talk about that after I hear your motion, Evan.
I move to amend the standing rules of the SA per Section 1, Rule 2 of the standing rules. Specifically, I would like to amend Section 6, Rule 9 to read, any voting member of the SA may attempt to overrule a decision by the executive committee by submitting the challenge in a form of a resolution at the next regularly scheduled meeting or in the form of a motion. A simple majority of the voting membership must be reached to overrule the executive committee at any time.
So your motion is to amend the standing rules, is that what you said?
Yes.
Amend them to say what, or maybe send in the chat?
Oh, I can send in the chat right now.
Thank you. I would also like to highlight, and Parliamentarian Stefanko, if you're on this call, please correct me. Oh, hi. So can you motion to amend the standing rules on the floor with just a motion? Because I'm pretty sure there has to be a resolution passed to amend the standing rules.
That's my understanding of it as well. I'm going to go pull up the documents right now. I have them up so we can kind of continue going, and I'll be reading through that as the meeting progresses.
Let me send the language you sent, Evan, to me, to everyone in the chat. And again, I just say what I said. Do you have a question now?
Specifically, I just want to call to attention Section 1, Rule 2, which states that the standing rules may be edited at any time by majority vote by the membership of the SA. So it doesn't appear to require a specific resolution.
Okay, for sure. And this is in our standing rules that it requires a majority vote to, did you say suspend or amend? Sorry.
Amend.
Okay.
The standing rules may be edited at any time by majority vote of the membership of the SA.
Okay. So my understanding, again, so we have Robert's rules and we have standing rules. Standing rules take precedence over Robert's rules. Robert's rules does, again, technically what you would want to do, and I may suggest this, you would want to, motion to suspend some area of these rules. Again, you can follow this amending process. I would just want to wait on Parliamentarian Stefanko's, to go ahead with this. And I know this puts pressure on Michael and Gina, if you're also on this call, any advice would be appreciated. I'm going to give them a minute to look into this. And then, Evan, your motion is still being entertained. I just do want to, again, recognize that, I'm happy to make this, I'm happy to accept this motion. We'll move to voting on this. But I would, as chair, I would formally request that we pay special attention to some resolutions on the agenda that have to be discussed today because they are time sensitive, namely Annabelle's groceries. And as well, I know there are other folks in the assembly who wish to make motions to amend the agenda today as well.
A point of information while we're looking into this, you're motioning to amend it to say what?
I sent the language in the chat. So originally the language says Section 6, Rule 9, it usually says a 2/3 of the voting membership must be reached to overrule the executive committee at any time. Evan, correct me if that's wrong.
Oh, that is correct.
Thank you. So normally it says 2/3. Evan is proposing that we amend the standing rules on the floor to change our standing rules to say that it only needs a simple majority. I do also want to recognize this is a little unprecedented, but again, I will wait to hear from either the Office of Assembly Staff or our parliamentarian.
Sorry to interject. Evan, where are you pulling from the standing rules that you can do this? Like, what's your justification for being able to do this?
Section 1, Rule 2.
Could you give me a line in the document, please?
Hang on.
Sorry.
Lines 16 and 17.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. I see that language, actually. I do want to ask a question of the body really quickly. So I see the language, line 16. Sorry, let me see. Standing rules shall take effect upon a majority vote of approval by the voting membership of the SA. The standing rules can also be edited at any time by a majority vote of the membership of the SA. Currently, the language is unclear as to whether when that change would go into effect. So for instance, would it immediately go into effect on the standing rules for that meeting? Or is this an amendment that, again, like our bylaws and our charter is approved on at the beginning of every semester? But again, we have a motion on the floor, and I believe, okay, and you motion to amend. Parliamentarians.
I think you're good to go ahead with what he wants to do if he doesn't recognize your call for, putting this off a little bit.
That's fine. Okay, so there has been a motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
There has been dissent. Please state your dissent, Representative Abdel-Mateen.
I believe that it should be 2/3. It should stay the way it is. A majority would mean that less people would agree. And so 2/3 means more people on the assembly get to have a voice on this.
Okay. Thank you for stating your dissent. Do you withdraw your motion, Evan?
I do not. Am I allowed to respond to it, or do we just move into voting?
Okay. So there has been dissent stated. We're going to move into debate on this. And then debate will be closed, and then we will vote. Okay. I have put your hand up if you want to debate this right now. I see. I'll allow Evan to respond to Layla's point, and then I'll recognize Mariah. Okay. Then Mariah and then Uche. But first, Evan.
Yeah. I just want to make the point that currently the exec committee is made up of only about 7 members. So a majority vote is still more representative than 7 members. And I believe that instead of a 2/3 majority, it's a too high bar just to overturn the opinions of a few of the assembly rather than a majority.
Okay, thank you for sharing, Representative Moy. Next, I'll recognize Mariah.
Yeah, I guess just to echo what Layla said, that I think that it's powerful to have 2/3 of the assembly voting on decisions. And further from that, exec was approved by the whole assembly. So they were all voted. Like, obviously, the leadership is not the entirety of the SA, but all of those leaders were voted on and approved by the SA as a whole. And so, yeah, I don't understand why we would be wanting to make it. Yeah, like, why would we be lessening it to majority when it's already written as 2/3? And obviously, that was also approved. The standing rules were also approved in the beginning of the year by the whole essay as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Mariah. Next, Representative Chukwukir. Please keep your comments to 1 minute. We're on a really hard time step right now.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo everything that was said. There's absolutely no reason to make this amendment and change to a simple majority. Like, 2/3 is more powerful, and we should keep it that way. This is just some petty tactic to try and undermine the decision of the executive committee.
Okay, thank you, Uche, for sharing. Next, I'm going to call on Representative Baker, and then after that, I will call the vote.
Hi, I just want to say, like, I think if we don't allow this, we're being a little inconsistent, because we're now saying that the whole body's voice is important when 4 people in exec voted to remove Representative Anticat, and, well, 5 people on exec voted to remove Representative Lieberman. So I just think that we need to have, like, a uniform response in these situations, because it's, like,
the whole body's voice matters one day and then the other day it doesn't. Okay. Thank you for sharing. I'm going to recognize Representative Abdel-Magid, and then I will call the vote after that hard stop.
Thank you. I'd just like to respond to that. If we're going to be consistent, we follow the rules. It says that the executive committee has the power to do this and this. We all voted on that in the beginning of the year. And to be consistent, by your definition, we would be following the rules, which currently states 2/3 vote.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Wonderful. I'm going to call the vote. Okay. I'm just going to call the vote, y'all. So right now, I'm pretty sure we're in a vote to vote. So please, SA members, only SA voting members, cast your vote in the chat. And Vice President Watson, could you help me check and validate all of the votes? Just making sure it's only SA members voting.
Point of information, what's yes and what's no?
Okay, so to my understanding, if you're voting yes, this means that you believe we should proceed to vote on changing the standing rules. And if you vote no, it means you do not believe we should vote on this. Okay, cast your votes within the next 15 seconds. Still waiting on a couple SA members. Cast your votes now. And if you're abstaining, message me privately. And seeing as it's tied, I will call on SA members just to make sure that they're present and can vote. Okay, we're still waiting on a few votes. If you do not respond, I will have to call on you. But seeing as we only have one person who has not voted, this motion passes with a vote of 15-12-2, I believe. Okay.
Doesn't it need 2/3? Is that 2/3?
Stefanko?
Majority.
Yeah, I don't think it needs 2/3.
Yeah.
For dissent?
So, pardon?
For a vote to vote?
Oh, okay. This is a vote to vote, right, Michael?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
15-12-2. Does a vote to vote require a 2/3 threshold or a majority?
Okay.
Also, again, Gina, if you're on the call, that'd be great. Also, again, SA members, please keep your votes up. I think some of you took them down and they were kind of in flux as I was trying to call the vote.
What do we normally take when we're doing a vote to vote? What's like the previous part?
I've seen simple majority in the past.
So I'm just counting the votes right now. Okay. I also recall that I think it hasn't been a simple majority. Again, SA members, feel free to correct me if that's not the case. This is up to the will of the body, so it's up to y'all. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and recognize the simple majority threshold unless Parliamentarian Stefanko says otherwise. Okay, so this motion passes. So now we're going to vote on whether or not this amendment should be accepted.
And point of information, an amendment requires 2/3.
So again, in the standing rules, so we're amending the standing rules. The standing rules themselves say that an amendment to the standing rules only requires a simple majority.
Noah left the call because he said he lost Wi-Fi.
Oh, shoot. Thank you for letting me know.
Vote to vote.
Okay. So, SA members, we're now in voting. Please cast your votes right now if you believe that this should go into effect. I'm sorry, I cleared your vote and I want you to vote now. Vote in the next 15 seconds. And Noah is sending in his vote right now because he lost Wi-Fi.
Point of information, I think. Could Evan restate his reason for making the amendment, please?
Sure. Evan, while people are voting, would you be willing to restate that?
Yeah, my reason for the amendment is that the exec board is made up of a very small number of students, and I believe that it should be easier to change the decisions of the executive board and make it more representative of the feelings of the body as a whole rather than those of a small group of people.
Okay, thank you, Evan.
So, point of order, EVP Watson is still, he asks
for I know.
before voting.
Oh. Okay, so oh. I'm getting, oh, he's back. So great, we're in voting, guys, right now. Cast your votes right now. I allowed Evan to respond because that was a question in regards to the vote. Cast your votes in the next 10 seconds.
Sorry, so this is for the executive board, not the actual assembly?
No. Okay. So
I thought it was for the assembly.
It's okay. Evan, please restate what you're proposing to vote right now. Yeah. And then as you're doing that, SA members, continue casting your votes, and I'll call the vote after a little bit after Evan restates what he's proposing.
Yeah, so the official wording of my proposal is in the chat. Essentially, I just changed the threshold to overturn the executive committee decision from a two-thirds majority to a simple majority. So if exec makes a decision, the rest of the body is able to contest it more easily.
Can I ask a question? Because we're in voting? Okay.
Just yes, maybe. Sorry. We're in voting again. We can take questions once the vote is called. SA members, we have a couple of you who are not voting, and I am not sure why. Please cast your votes right now.
And also, Kat, I want to ask, has the parliamentarian checked if there's dissent, whether or not we need a two-thirds vote to move into voting?
Sorry. Michael, go ahead.
I did not check into that. Do you want me to check into that?
Because that's standard practice. That's what we always go by.
Mm-hmm. I did get a message from the Office of Assemblies, Gina John Batista, who stated that it's a simple majority.
For when there's dissent.
Actually.
Like a vote to vote.
Gina, again, could you check this really fast while we're doing this? Okay, if you're abstaining, message me privately. Otherwise, cast your votes right now. I'm not sure why some of you aren't voting, but if you aren't going to vote in the chat, I'm going to assume that's an abstention.
So people are aware, Kayla Butler has disconnected apparently, and she wants me to let the committee know she's voting yes. Oh, okay. No, never mind, her vote was counted.
Okay. I have a message in the chat that says, end debate on amendments is 2/3. Not entirely sure what that means.
Yeah, no, so that message wasn't for me, but to end debate, you do need a 2/3 majority, and I mean, unless you decide to close off the discussion.
Okay. Okay, was that an issue?
I don't think it was made an issue.
The amendment itself at this point, we're not voting about, like, it's not about to close the debate.
I think the voting to vote is ending debate is what is Michael is trying to say. Okay. So it does need 2/3. So I think we would have to redo that.
Okay. Thank you all for this clarification. We're going to, again, this can be done according to procedures. If there's a lack of clarity on a vote, then we can go back and redo that. We're going to, okay, it's 6, okay, 6:02. That's fine. Everyone, so we're going to move back on the vote to vote because that's an end of a discussion. That would require a 2/3 threshold to pass, okay? I'm going to clear all of your votes, and I'm going to ask you all to vote again. And this is a vote to vote. It will require 2/3 majority. This means if you vote yes, okay.
Point of information. Yes. Yeah, so it would be 2/3 majority to end the debate on the vote to vote. So we're 3 levels deep here. Vote to vote to vote. So you need 2/3 of people to agree to end debating on the vote to vote. Does that make sense?
Sure. Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Michael. So, cast your votes in the chat. Closing voting in 10 seconds, y'all.
The point of information, so this is just saying that you want to end discussion on the vote to vote.
Yes.
And Michael, what does the vote to vote need?
That's simple majority.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that. And then 2/3 to close discussion.
Great. Thank you, Michael. Okay. Cast your votes in the chat. If you're abstaining, message me privately. Okay, I'm going to call it in 5 seconds. So cast your votes now or forever hold your peace. Also, okay, guys, I don't know why you aren't voting, but if you're not voting, I'm going to assume that's an abstention. Okay.
Just to be aware as well, Kayla, again, her vote is not working apparently, but she wants to vote by proxy.
Point of inquiry, point of order.
Okay.
Wouldn't that require like official proxy voting measures?
Can I clarify, has she been present for this discussion?
She has. It's only been in the last 5-ish minutes that her Wi-Fi has been unstable.
Does she know what we're voting on right now?
Yes, she does.
Okay. So I have gotten messages that Kayla is voting yes. Okay, calling the vote. The final vote is 15-12-2, I believe. So is that 2/3? Sorry, I can't do math. That is not 2/3. So technically, we're supposed to continue this debate. I'm not sure what purpose that would solve, but all right. Okay, I see a hand from someone who wants to continue debate. Representative Baker.
Hi, the importance of following rules has recently been brought up, and I just want to point out the fact that when the VPRA was removed, the fact that I would be voting yes was used to remove me from the committee so that she could be unanimously removed. And I just want to say that goes directly against the bylaws because by definition of my title, VP External, I would need to be removed by 2/3 vote of the whole voting body of the SA. And that did not happen. The rules were not followed. So I was legally removed just because it was known that I was going to vote. I was not going to vote. I was not going to vote no. So yeah, I just, again, like, I believe that this motion should be passed because it's not right for 4 or 5 people on the executive committee to be not following the bylaws and to just be making these decisions unilaterally and not letting the whole body have a say.
Morgan, okay. Again, we have a 1-minute time limit right now. Okay, we have a speakers list. You guys are going to get each 1 minute to speak. Salam has asked to speak first. Uche, is that all right? Okay. And it's going to go Salam, Uche, and then Mariah, and then I can provide some information if that's still needed.
Just to speak on the part about, not the other part, but just the part about you voting yes, it was because of the fact, don't miss the entire story, it was because of the fact you are a conflict of interest. You served on the Research and Accountability Committee for the entire semester up until the point of that meeting. During that meeting, you said that you weren't on Research and Accountability anymore, but that was like within the past few hours, and you didn't communicate that to the Vice President of Internal Affairs. You didn't communicate that with anyone. You just told us during that meeting. So even if you weren't in Research and Accountability within those few hours, you were still there the entire semester. The power dynamics are still existing. So don't say it's because, like, you have to tell the full story. Don't spread the misinformation right now. There was a conflict of interest, and conflicts of interest, you're not supposed to vote because that's the precedence that we created the entire SA for the how many meetings now.
Awesome. Thank you, Representative Woldai. I'm going to now recognize Uche, and then Mariah, and then Morgan. I'm going to ask that we keep our comments to now 30 seconds. Again, we're really approaching this time limit.
Yeah, I just want to echo everything that Salam said. It was a huge conflict of interest, and you knew it. And, you know, quite frankly, you were taking mental gymnastics to try and justify why you should have voted. And it was actually really disrespectful to the other people on the committee, and the fact that there's a precedent set where you are not supposed to vote when there's a conflict of interest, which you went ahead and did or tried to do. And that's just not acceptable. It's not allowed. And we were completely within our rights to do everything. We checked it with our parliamentarian. Like, I don't know why this misinformation is going around as if made new rules.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Guacare. I'm now going to recognize Mariah. Okay. You all have 30 seconds. Keep your comments brief.
Yeah, I was just going to say really quick, if it's the case that we don't feel that exec should be making these decisions that are so grave, then we should be changing the charter and the bylaws. The charter in the standing rules, it says that the charter and the bylaws supersede the standing rules, and that's written in the preamble of this standing rule. So it's at the very beginning. And so if you actually feel that exec shouldn't be making these decisions, we shouldn't be changing this small little piece that's used to overturn executive committee decisions. We should just be changing all of the pieces where it says exec has the power to do X, Y, Z in the charter and bylaws.
Awesome. Thank you. That was within 30 seconds. I'm going to recognize Representative Baker. You have 30 seconds.
I just want to say, reading Robert's rules, nowhere does it say that a conflict of interest constitutes committee membership. Also, we all work alongside the VPRA, so I don't understand like why that should constitute a conflict of interest for me and not anyone else. Like, also, like, there's just no precedent for saying that my committee membership on the RAC committee constitutes a conflict of interest, and no one with a no one with a conflict of interest can be compelled to vote a certain way. And just the fact that I wasn't being compelled, you just removed me, which that was against the bylaws.
Okay, that was 30 seconds. I'm going to recognize Representative Moy. You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just had two short points. I also don't believe it was valid for D2's vote to remove Morgan in the first place. I'm aware there's a lot of debate whether or not exec can be considered a committee, but the fact of the matter is that they're governed by different points in the bylaws. They're governed by different articles. And then secondly, in response to Mariah, I do intend to pass a resolution in the future to change the charter and other aspects of executive decisions, but currently the decisions that they've already been made need to be corrected.
Great. You're at time? Okay. I'm going to now recognize Sonu. I think she has a point of information, and I'll recognize Tomas and Morgan, and after that I will call it. Okay? Sonu, you have 30 seconds if you need it.
Hi, Kat. Thank you. So I saw in the presentation that there can only be a conflict of interest if the person has a financial stake in it. So could you just clarify that? Maybe I misunderstood what it said.
Okay, so seeing as a point of information, I will allow someone to respond if needed. You'll have 30 seconds to respond.
I can say that a conflict of interest as defined as Robert's rules is anyone who has a financial or personal direct or personal, I forget the exact word, but like personal relationship with the question on the table. I can send the language to Noah or Kat.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, it's written in Robert's rules.
Thank you, Mariah. I will now recognize Representative Reuning and then Representative Baker, and then there are no more hands, so we're going to call it. Tomas?
Yeah, my thing is, you keep saying it wasn't a conflict of interest, but interestingly, you left the committee hours before the meeting, which means you knew your membership would be brought up as a conflict of interest. If you truly believed it was not a conflict of interest, why would you quit the committee literally hours before said meeting? Two, like, in all seriousness, like, she's the head of the committee. You're a member of the committee. Like, that's a power dynamic there, right? Like, she could theoretically have you removed from the committee if you vote in a way she doesn't like, right? Like, that is a conflict of interest. And three, like, in all seriousness, like, y'all look like real bad people fighting to reinstate this human being who physically assaulted another member of the assembly. Like, what is wrong with y'all?
That was within time. Thank you. And I'm going to recognize Morgan, unless you don't want to be recognized again.
Oh, I'll go at the end.
Okay. I did say earlier that I was going to call a question once you spoke. Are you ceding your time to a community member because I see Zion has a hand up?
Oh, am I the last speaker?
So I said I would call the question once you spoke, but then you put your hand down and then Zion put his hand up and then you put your hand up again. So I'm wondering, do you want to cede your time to Zion?
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay, Zion, you have 30 seconds.
Absolutely. I just want to state that I brought up a conflict of interest with somebody chairing a meeting with the resolution they co-sponsored. I was told that this was gendered. However, if you're going to say that by sitting on a committee, it's not a conflict of interest, but being a co-sponsor is while chair, that shows that you are having a double standard. And I feel like that deserves an apology from both Noah and Kat for calling me gendered when you yourself are voting for something saying the exact same terms that I used. Thank you.
I'm happy to address that later in the meeting once we're not at time. I did get a request from an alum to pitch in on this. Varun, I'm going to recognize you for 30 seconds.
I think I'm good. Is there any chance I'm going to motion to extend to be allowed to speak for a total of a minute, starting whenever I would be allowed?
Okay.
Motion to allow Varun 1 minute of speaking time.
Okay, sure. Okay. Y'all, I will grant this as chair. I'll grant 1 minute. I think that's technically at my discretion as a community member. Varun, you have 1 minute. I'll send a time reminder in the chat when you hit 15 seconds left.
Thank you, Kat. So I just want to give a quick background on myself. My name is Varun Devatha. I was a former president of the Student Assembly in the year 2018 to 2019. I'm just stepping in here because I think it's important to think about precedent as well as the rules. I think that in regards to the question on Annie's membership, I think that that's up for debate. And I think that you guys, with the knowledge that you have, can engage in that conversation. However, the separate question on following the rules is a separate conversation that's really important, and one that, in fact, it's surprising because Kat agreed with me 2 days ago about this. The first comment that I have to make is that according to the Student Assembly bylaws, the executive board is required in order to remove individuals, and if you want to remove individuals from the executive board, it requires a 2/3 vote of the membership. And that is a precedent that has been set in the past. It's a precedent that followed. As many of you are aware, unfortunately, tried to remove a member of the executive board that required a 2/3 vote of the assembly. It did not pass. That's fine. It didn't work. That's fine. All I'm saying is that you have to go through the right rules. And I would ask that Gina and Mike, please look at the bylaws and give your opinion based off of the fact that the executive board is not a committee. And the fact that the individuals in the
office. Dude, you graduated. Why the fuck are you back here?
Are tethered to the position of the executive board and cannot be separated.
I will have to mute you soon. Okay. Thank you for speaking. Okay. I will recognize a community member, Liz Davis Frost. She is the graduate student trustee. And after that.
Point of order?
Okay. Liz, you have 1 minute.
I don't need that much time. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to say that I'm sitting in on this meeting after sitting in on every other assembly meeting for the past week and a half. And I honestly think this is making a mockery of shared governance. There's not a single other assembly that spends 30 to 45 minutes going through bureaucratic stalling. And it's like kind of embarrassing. Like there's 290 people on this call. I just really encourage the people who are strategically stalling, because it is strategic. Like we all see it. People are frustrated and we all have stuff to do. Like it's final season. Just like let's just get back to the conversation. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Liz. I have a feeling we will not reach a resolution, no matter how much more I allow folks to speak. As chair, I have discretion on calling the question if needed. I'd also like to clarify that I spoke with both Michael, both Varun Devatha, both Dale Barbaria, who is also a member of a past student assembly, and he served as a parliamentarian, and Office of Assembly staff today. And I spoke with Gina, and if Gina wants to pop in and also go over what we talked about, happy to talk about that. I want to provide context. In our governing documents, there are discrepancies between the charter, the bylaw, and then the standing rules. And then it takes precedence. So what is named in the charter takes precedence over everything else. The language that was looked at during this executive board meeting was from the charter, which again takes precedence over everything, where it declared the executive board an executive committee. Again, that was the will of the body at the time at executive board meeting. I went over this with Gina. Gina can back me up. I can also share my screen right now. I have all the language up right now. But again, this is an extraordinary, like, I don't want to call it a waste of time, because it's not, but it is a little bit disrespectful to all of our community members here who are trying to discuss some things on the agenda. I will proceed to share the language in the chat, and then I will call the question, okay?
Can we make a motion to table this out of respect for all the people who are waiting for the resolutions to be discussed on the agenda?
Second.
So to my knowledge, we're technically, okay, Michael, where did we leave off? Were we in a vote? I'm sorry, I already forgot.
No, we're still debating. You could motion to table indefinitely. I think you need a simple majority.
Motion to table indefinitely.
That's what you're referencing. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be
speaking. No, motion to table indefinitely, because this is disrespectful to all the people who are waiting for the resolution.
Second.
Okay, so there's been a second. Oh my gosh, I don't want to have to do a vote to vote, y'all, but is there any dissent?
Okay, this is not debatable, sorry.
This is not debatable, Layla?
Motion isn't debatable. Michael can correct me.
Oh, a motion to table indefinitely is non-debatable, according to Robert's rules.
You know, check, but you can just keep going if you want. Yeah,
okay. Cool. So, and again,
but then this, if this is more important than logistics.
If this is tabled, we can, again, revisit this motion whenever you guys want. Understood? Like, you will just have to make a motion to pick up this motion. I generally do feel so bad for our committee members here who are here for, like, Anvil's groceries or something like that. So there has been a motion. So we're just going to vote on this right now. And to answer someone's question, we were not in a vote. We were on debate on the we were still debating this motion. Okay, cast your votes right now if you think that this should be tabled. And again, this can be picked up shortly after we discuss other, like, items on the agenda or not.
Point of information, what does indefinite mean?
Indefinitely means until it's picked up again, which means that someone can motion again to do this whenever they want, whether that's in later in this meeting or next meeting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. SA members, cast your votes in the next 10 seconds. If you're abstaining, message me privately. Okay. I'm getting a couple abstentions. Thank you for sending those in. I really appreciate it. I'm still waiting on a few people to vote. Okay, cast your votes in the next 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, with a vote of 14 to 12 to, kind of the abstentions right now, 14 to 12 to 3, this motion to table does pass. And again, I'm clarifying this can be picked up again. Also, like, we're not trying to shut this down. We just are trying to get to Anvil's groceries right now. In complete honesty. Okay, great. So now back to the agenda. Technically, on our agenda right now, I do believe that we have business of the day, which is the convocation resolution. As chair, I would formally request that the assembly motion to amend the agenda to move Annabelle's groceries up to the first item of business right now. Awesome. Okay, so it needs to motion first. I can't make a motion.
Point of order.
Okay.
Point of order. I'm sorry. Point of information. I thought that abstentions counted as votes against under Robert's rules.
No.
Sorry. Point of information.
Michael.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to cut you off. In that case, if Kat wanted to break a tie, if you're right, then Kat could also just, or President Huang could vote as well.
So it was 14 to 12 to, I think I said 3, right? So again, abstentions do not count as no votes. They count as, they're not votes, basically. The only time they would count as a vote is if the number of abstentions outnumber, like, the number of votes cast total, I'm pretty sure. Vern, again, I know you're here for questions about this, but Michael, also feel free to correct me on this. And again, I'm saying we can revisit this later in the meeting after we get through any kind of motion.
You're good, Kat.
Thanks, Michael. Great. I had requested as chair that someone make a motion to move Annabelle's up in the agenda. This is someone going to make that motion?
Motion.
I motion.
Someone motioned. Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Is there dissent? Okay. Seeing as there's no dissent, the agenda has been amended. Wonderful. I would like to welcome the co-sponsors of Annabelle's Groceries. We have several community members here. The floor is yours. Before we do that, it's 6:23. The meeting ends technically in 7 minutes. Is there a motion to extend?
Motion to extend the meeting to 8 p.m.
Did you say 8 p.m.?
Yes.
It's Hanukkah. How about 7:30?
Okay, please. 7:30. Sorry.
Okay. Great, thank you. There's been a motion to extend until 7:30. Is there a second?
Second.
Wonderful. Okay. And Zion, I see your hand. Is it about, like, a religious conflict?
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of Jewish people on this call that it's the first night of Hanukkah. I personally am Jewish as well. I am more than willing to. I have two resolutions that I co-sponsor that are coming to the fore, but I think it's more important that we value our religious students and don't discriminate against them in this case. And we make sure to end by 6:30, which I think is very reasonable.
Okay, so
you why are you trying to stop a vote about Anna?
Hey, hey, George. Okay, George, I had to mute you.
Can I also? Can I ask a question?
Y'all, stop! Stop interrupting. That's incredibly disrespectful. I'm literally just trying to chair. It's a very basic rule: don't interrupt. Okay. I understand your point, Zion. I do also want to recognize that if we do not vote to extend, your resolutions will not be discussed today either, and many resolutions will not. Okay. Goodness. So technically, I'm pretty sure we're in voting. So a motion was made to extend until. Uche, do you want to? Do you still maintain your motion?
No, I can redo it. Motion to extend to 7:30.
7:30? Okay. Yeah. Great. Is there a second?
Second.
Wonderful. Thank you. Is there any dissent? And again, we're just trying to get through the agenda, y'all. If there is no dissent, please cast your votes in this chat to extend the meeting to 7:30. And I have clarified to SA members, if they have to leave by 6:30 because of religious conflicts, they are more than welcome to do so, and their absences will be excused. Okay, cast your votes in the next 10 seconds. Okay. Calling the vote in 2 seconds. Okay, the vote is 18 to 5 to, I think, 6. So that does pass. Again, okay, I want to welcome the members from the Annabelle's Grocery community. The floor is yours. I will give you some time to present your resolution. Are you all here?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, please feel free to go ahead and introduce yourself, and the floor is yours right now.
So hi, my name is Deanna Gonzalez, and I'm currently a co-chair for the City and Local Affairs Committee. I'm also a student of the Annabelle's Groceries, and I've been working very hard with about 15 to 20 members of Annabelle's Grocery, the co-founder of Annabelle's Grocery, as well as the board chair, are all in this meeting right now. We are proposing to extend or to have Annabelle's Groceries to be reopened for the spring 2021 semester. Cornell deemed it as not essential because they said that the food pantry would serve to replace us. However, we feel that Annabelle's Grocery is essential, and the Annabelle team members can explain why. So, Chelsea and Megan.
Yeah, thank you for having us, and we're going to keep this nice and short and sweet for you guys. I'm Megan, from a returning member from Annabelle's Grocery, and we are just going to highlight some of the most important parts of our resolution, but you can look to that for further detail. So if you haven't seen our store ever, this is a picture of the inside of it when we've been operational. It's in Annabelle Taylor Hall, and we reopened in the fall of 2019 under this model and have since been gaining a lot of members. Part of our mission is to provide fresh, healthy, and affordable food to all students on campus, including graduate students. And to do this, we get supplies from all of these assortments of local farms and producers, et cetera. We also run educational programs. So the reason we're able to provide affordable food is through our subsidy fund, which actually generously was given to us by the Student Assembly Students Helping Students Endowment Fund. And so because of this money, we were able to renovate our store and that type of thing. And also we are able to subsidize our groceries. So that is what you're going to see over to the right, where our costs save our shoppers 30% compared to Wegmans. And in the face of Annabelle's being shut this semester, 76% of our old shoppers are going to Wegmans instead. And the reason this is important is because cost is a main barrier contributing to food insecurity on Cornell's campus. In a 2019 survey, it was found that approximately 30% of Cornell's undergraduate students do not eat as often as they think they should for various reasons. And these numbers are worse for communities of color. And so in addition to cost being a barrier to getting fresh, affordable food on Cornell's campus, other indicated barriers are time and competing priorities. This is actually the largest barrier indicated in a survey we administered this semester. And then closely following is transportation and then cost. And so because Annabelle's Grocery has a location right on campus in Annabelle Taylor Hall, and that helps with both the two top barriers. We found in our survey that a lot of students indicated we about the same as the numbers I've indicated here, the 77 and 75% said that we help cut down these barriers. And here I would just like to address that in Cornell's reasoning for declaring Annabelle's Grocery as not essential, they quoted the existence of the Cornell Food Pantry. And we recognize the need for the food pantry, but we also recognize it as an emergency solution to not having food. And Annabelle's Grocery really occupies a separate mission in that we provide students access to these locally grown, healthy, affordable options that they wouldn't otherwise have. And in addition, this gives buying power to students to support these types of organizations in the Ithaca community. So we really are an upstream solution to food insecurity as opposed to the food pantry, which also of note has been seeing extensive lines this semester and up to an hour's worth of wait. So with that, I'm going to pass on to Chelsea.
Yeah, so in a survey that we were circulating that was trying to gauge our impact, our closure impact, we found that some students indicated increased COVID-related stress, being worried that they would contract COVID off-campus grocery stores. There were issues in transportation, being able to get to the grocery stores, and our closure also impacted people's abilities to get healthy foods and have access to buy healthy foods, as well as costs to buy these foods. So all these testimonies, among the tens of others that we received, indicate that now, especially more than ever, we are needed, and that despite what the university may think, Annabelle's does provide an essential service next semester. So we're calling for Cornell to let us reopen for the spring semester. Annabelle's has worked hard over the summer to develop a reactivation plan. Working and keeping things sanitized and clean is to providing food to students, especially during a pandemic. So in this resolution, we ask that Cornell supports us as that.
Yeah, sorry, Chelsea's Wi-Fi is cutting out, but everything okay. She just said is right there on the slide. Okay, and with that, we thank you for letting us speak, and I'm going to hand it back to Deanna.
Yeah, so thank you, Megan and Chelsea. Do any of you have any questions about Annabelle's procedures or the store itself?
Okay. Motion to vote.
There was someone on the speaker's list. Sorry. Morgan, do you still maintain your motion to vote? There was just one person
no.
on the speaker's list. Great. I'm going to recognize. Oh, Mora, is your hand still up or no?
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to say like thank you all for presenting. I think Annabelle's was great, and I was just going to motion to vote as well.
Oh, wonderful. So there's mm-hmm. been a motion second. To vote. There's okay. been a second. Wonderful. SA members, please cast your votes in the chat. Cast your votes in the next 5 to 10 seconds. And if you're not voting, I'm going to assume you're abstaining. And if you want to abstain, please please message me privately. Okay. With a vote of 26 to 0 to 3, I guess. Wonderful. Okay, That passes. Congratulations to the presenters of this resolution. Very happy for you all. Wonderful. Okay, great. Amazing. Oh, by the way, Morgan, I think you, can you rename yourself to Essay? I don't know if I might have missed your vote by accidentally. Okay, wonderful. So continuing on with the agenda, and let's see, sorry, I'm checking the agenda right now to see what's next. Okay, so there had been a motion made to amend the agenda to move Annabelle's Grocery back up. Technically, we're back to business of the day now, which is Resolution 17, Reduction of Convocation Committee Student Activity Fee Allocation.
I motion to untable the edit to the standing rules.
Okay.
I also have a point of information. I can't find anything in Robert's rules that allowed for the vote-to-vote to require a two-thirds majority. The only thing I can find, even with limiting debate, with ending debate, is to limit debate, but that's about the topics of debate, not the actual debate itself.
Okay.
I believe it should be a majority.
Yeah. Point of order. There was no two-thirds barrier to voting. It was a two-thirds vote to end the debate, which is why we were three levels deep of voting. So it's not having to do with a two-thirds vote to vote. It's two-thirds the debate.
I don't believe anybody motioned to end debate. We just went into a motion to vote, and then denied.
Did in the middle had been the motion, like someone had motioned to end debate, and then we realized we were at that point. Okay. Okay. But I recognize that there is
point. There is no two-thirds majority to end debate. There's a two-thirds majority to limit the topics of debate, but not to end the debate itself.
Evan. There has been a motion made to untable this, okay? Do you have a dissent to that motion? Is that why you're stating this?
No, I do not, no. But I also second her motion.
Is there a second? Okay, there's been a second. Is there...
Dissent.
There's dissent. Okay, please state your dissent, Representative Abdel-Magid.
As it is our last meeting of the Assembly, I'd like to go through the agenda and get things done. We have 257 participants here for things on the agenda, not to watch us argue about rules and interpretations like we usually do.
Great. And again, okay, thank you. And again, the entire Assembly had voted to extend this meeting so we can get through this agenda. And again, because it is Hanukkah, we want to make sure any Jewish students who are here can address the things on the agenda that they want to get through, okay? We're literally trying to make sure everyone gets a fair chance at getting through the agenda for today. Okay.
Point of order as well. Sorry.
Yes, Michael.
We motioned to table indefinitely. I think it would be highly irregular to bring it up in this session. That it was tabled indefinitely, I think, for a reason.
Okay. And again, I am happy to entertain that. After we get through things on your agenda that, I'm getting messages that because of religious conflicts, they would like to present earlier. Okay, I would like to open the floor tentatively. If there are motions to amend the agenda, I know an SA member had reached out to me about amending the agenda, and also Zion, I know you have to leave early. If you want to motion to move your resolution up, you're welcome to do so. This can also be discussed at the beginning of next semester's meeting.
Yes, Kat, can I go ahead with something?
Yes, for sure. Carlo,
all right, thank you. Motion? Yes, I'd like to motion to amend the agenda to add Resolution 30 to the beginning of new business. I feel like in the recent light of the town hall meeting, and because this is the last scheduled SA meeting of the semester, it should be put at the beginning of new business.
Okay. So
I never removed my motion to untable.
I second Carlo's motion.
Okay.
Order.
Who said that point of order? So technically, committee members may not make point of orders in our bylaws, but I do want to, is this related to like a religious conflict, Zion?
No, it's just that you can't make another motion while somebody has a motion.
I understand. I was going to go back and say, let's finish the motion that Annie had made. Annie had motioned to untable the previous motion. We had entered debate. Technically, we're still on that motion. We're going to, and there was debate expressed by Layla. So now we're going to move into a vote-to-vote on whether or not we should vote to untable this, okay? SA members, cast your votes right now.
If you're at point of information, what's the vote amount?
Okay, so if you're voting yes, this means that you believe we should move into voting to untable the previous motion. And if you vote no, this means that you don't believe it should be untabled right now, okay? And if you're abstaining, please message me privately. I'm going to close the voting in 10 seconds. So members, cast your votes in the next, again, 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. With a vote of 12 to 14 to 3 abstentions, that motion does not pass. We're going to again continue with Carla's motion. Carla, you're going to have to make your motion.
Was Kayla's vote counted? Point of order, was Kayla's vote counted?
Excuse me?
Point of order, was Kayla's vote counted?
No one has sent me Kayla's vote, and is she present for this discussion?
I am here. I have to go in 2 minutes, but yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so did you send me your vote? Nobody has. Okay, yeah, I don't know why it wouldn't be counted.
Because she's having trouble putting SA in front of her name.
Yeah, but I have on the list right here, like the yeses and nos, no matter of who is an SA member and who is not. So the vote was correct as long as Kayla put in her vote in the Zoom chat, which you did, right, Kayla?
I didn't put it in the chat.
No, used the yes and the
right
no.
It's right there.
Okay, sorry, no interruptions. You did cast your yes vote or no vote in the chat.
I did.
Okay, thank you. So that does not pass. And again, this just means that we are going to continue with the agenda. There has been a motion made. Carlo, can you state your motion?
Yeah, sure, no problem. So I was saying that I would like to motion to amend the agenda to add resolution 30 to the beginning of the new business. And again, like in the recent light of the town hall, and because it's the last SA meeting of the semester, I think it should be put in front of the new business.
Second.
Thank you. So there's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Point of information, resolution 30, Is that in the agenda?
So right now, I believe there was a motion to amend the agenda to add this. Noah, could you, if there is a link in the box with this resolution, would you be able to send that to the public chat?
Yeah, I don't have the resolution, so.
Okay.
I can put it and I can share it.
Okay, so this resolution is going to be put in and shared in this chat. Okay, so we were technically, the votes were just cleared, but I think it had passed, but I just want to redo it because we haven't seen it. So SA members, cast your votes in the chat. We had never finished voting, technically.
Oh, could we get access to it first?
Sure, okay.
That's voting on what exactly right now?
Okay, so right now we're voting, Carlo, correct me if I misheard your motion, but Carlo had motioned to amend the agenda to place this resolution 30 on the agenda at the top of the business that we're at right now.
Yeah. So to add resolution 30 and to put it in the front of the new business.
Okay. So there's been a motion to amend the agenda.
Point of information.
Sorry, Kat.
Yes, I want to know what's the topic of resolution 30? Just the title. What is that?
We're waiting for it to be placed in the box so we can all see it. I think it's being uploaded right now. And to clarify, a motion to amend the agenda does take a 2/3 vote. Are any updates on the box link getting in here? Also, does anybody know if Annie had to leave early? I don't know if she's still in this meeting. Has anyone heard from her? Okay, great. I have a box link that someone sent me. I'm going to put it in the chat right now. Thank you, Amari, for checking with Annie. Alrighty. Wonderful. Okay, so there has been a motion to amend the agenda to add this to the resolution. People, I'm going to give you time to view it, preview the resolution in the chat right now. And again, if you have a class or if you have a religious conflict, you can go because we are past the regular meeting time of 6:30. Okay. Hope that's clear to everyone. Alrighty. So there was a motion and then there was a second. So now, unless there's any, do community members should have access to this resolution? Let me know if the link is not working. Whoever posted it to the box, can you change it so the link sharing is open to all community members?
Yep, I can do that in one moment.
And then send the link to me again so I can share it with the community. Any updates on the box link?
Yeah, I'm about to send it to you again. Let's see if this works.
I have received a link. I'm going to send it in the chat. Please check if it works, and then we can all view it, and then we'll be able to, we will move into a vote on whether or not to amend the agenda, seeing as I have heard no dissent yet.
Can I do a point of information?
Sure. What's up, Amari?
Is there any changes from Resolution 11, or is this the same one?
I want to allow the co-sponsors to address this.
There are changes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'll give me one moment.
And if it makes it easier, could you share your, you're welcome to share your screen if you can't get the box links to work.
Point of information.
I think I'll do that.
Okay, what is your point of information?
I want to know if there's any Jewish students on this call that they're putting priority on a Jewish holiday to have this brought forward. Is there any co-sponsors of this resolution that are Jewish? And if not, what is the reasoning behind putting a resolution that has no Jewish co-sponsors ahead of one that has Jewish co-sponsors, given that it's a religious holiday for the Jewish people?
Okay. So would any co-sponsors like to respond?
But which resolution are you referring to that has Jewish co-sponsors? Like, which resolution are you talking about?
I know I'm on two of them, and I know I'm Jewish, so I'm not going to speak for other people and their identities, but I can say personally for me and my identity, I am Jewish.
Thank you. Noah, yes. I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, like, also, like, I'm Jewish as well. And, like, I'm in support of, like, moving this resolution forward.
Okay. So I'm just going to put some language in the chat that is from our bylaws. If there is a major conflict of interest that affects a significant portion of the undergraduate student body, which I understand there's a lot of Jewish students at Cornell and we want to respect them, any member may direct the essay president to call a special meeting in lieu of regular scheduled meeting. This request must be made 2 weeks in advance of the regularly scheduled meeting at the issue. So we are already at the regularly scheduled meeting at issue. So I would have needed a request to call a special meeting 2 weeks ago. Okay. Has everyone, Uche, update on the box link?
I can just share my screen.
Okay. Which is going to share a screen. And again, there has been a motion to amend. There was a second. And now we're viewing this before we vote. Okay. I'm going to allow 20 seconds for folks to view this resolution. And
also,
then,
Kat.
Yes, Noah?
Oh, sorry. You can finish. Sorry.
No, go for it.
I just wanted to say that I also don't appreciate, like, having to be, like, expose my Jewish identity to so that, like, this resolution's prioritized.
Like, can I counter? Can I respond?
I don't think this is the time for back and forth. This is not the time for a back and forth. We can recognize this after we finish closed voting, okay? Again, we are on items on our agenda that we're trying to get through. And someone asked for, okay. Yes, again, we want to make sure that we get to everything people need to get through. Are there any questions on this resolution that's being presented to the agenda? Zion, is your hand up about this resolution or another one? Okay, so there are no questions on, sorry, were you about to speak? I didn't see you.
My is just a return comment about how I'm not necessarily saying that there has to be a Jewish co-sponsor. I'm just wondering, given that it's a religious holiday, why this would be put ahead of people that specifically stated they have a place to go.
Great. Thank you for that. Okay. So seeing as we have all reviewed the resolution right now, there has been a motion to amend. There is a second. Is there dissent? Okay. Seeing as there's no dissent, we're going to move into voting right now. SA members, a ton of them are messaging me right now to say they have to leave. If we dip below quorum, then this meeting will have to officially end. SA members, cast your votes right now on whether or not to motion to amend, whether or not to amend the agenda for this resolution to be on the agenda for today. And again, if you are an SA member, you have to leave. That is fine.
One point of information, when is the next meeting going to be held?
The next meeting will be next semester.
Next semester?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So with a vote of 15-2, and if you're abstaining, please message me privately.
What are we voting on?
We're voting on whether or not to amend the agenda to include Resolution 30 right now. Cast your votes in the chat. Cast your votes with the Zoom function within the next 10 seconds. Okay, with a vote of 18-0 let me see how many people are not here. Okay, Okay, with a vote of 18-0-2, this does pass. We lost about half of our assembly members, so our total attendance is now at 20, I think. And again, Vice President Watson, feel free to correct me on that. Okay, this has been motioned to be added to the agenda. I will allow the co-sponsors of the resolution to present. I'm just making sure we're at quorum.
Yeah, point of information, how many voting members are there?
Pardon?
How many voting members are there?
I'm trying to count right now.
Of the regular body, sorry.
Of the regular body, it's 29 or 30. I think it's 30.
29. No, 29, there's no more Dylan.
Okay, 29.
A quorum shall consist of the majority of the voting members of the SA, so you're good.
Okay, we do have a majority. Okay. Co-sponsors, please feel free to present your resolution.
Motion to vote on the resolution. I feel like there's been a lot of discussion about this at this point. Motion to vote.
There's a motion to vote. There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Wait, dissent? I thought they were presenting.
The co-sponsors have themselves motioned to vote. So is there any dissent?
I guess that was it.
That was not a dissent, did you say?
Oh, no.
Okay. What are we doing with the trials situation? Are we just going to mention them?
Pardon? Okay. I don't know. I couldn't hear what was said, but there has been a motion to vote on this resolution. There was a second. I had heard no dissent. Okay. Moving forward, SA members, please cast your votes. I'm going to clear the votes right now because I don't know how many are left over. I'm going to clear them. Please cast your votes again.
Can I do a motion to do roll call? Are we?
I think we're past that, right, Michael?
Yeah, there was no dissent. You should move straight into voting, right?
Yes. Okay.
Sorry.
I would draw my motion to vote, and then I make a motion to do a roll call vote.
Okay, so the motion to vote has been withdrawn, and a motion to do a roll call vote has been made. Okay, is there a second to that?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing as there is no dissent, we're going to move into roll call voting. Kira, are you still here?
Yeah, I am.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. Could you move into the roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Wait, point of information. So then the resolution changes are not going to be discussed at all?
Okay. So right now, because we're in voting, that's a no. Yes. Okay.
Okay. Lila Abed El-Jameed.
Yes.
Morgan Baker. Genevieve Bansaw.
Yeah.
Katarina Bentley.
Yes.
Caleb Butler. Carlo Castillo.
Yes.
Uchenna Chukwukura.
Yes.
Lucy Contreras.
Yes.
Annette Gleiberman. Sonu Kapoor. Amari Lampert.
Yes.
Savannah Lim.
Yes.
Andrea Miramontes Serrano. Evan Moy. Estefania Perez.
Yes.
Tomas Renning.
Yeah, yes.
Kate Santa Cruz. Mardia Shardo.
Yes.
Lucas Smith.
No.
Claire Templeman. Valeria Valencia.
Yes.
Noah Watson.
Yes.
Salam Moldai.
Yes.
Valentina Shu. Johan Yuan. Raquel Zohar. Lucas Zumpano. Samuel Z.
Yes.
Okay, I have 15 yes and 1 no.
Thank you for that. So I just checked to make sure we were at quorum, and we were. We have 17 voting members, and quorum is half of, okay, quorum is 16, I'm pretty sure. So we had quorum. Okay, so that resolution did pass. We're back. However, I do want to recognize that like a ton of SA members left during this call. I want to put it up to the will of the body whether or not we should continue this without them, as it, I don't know if it's fair for us to do continue without them. Also, I don't know if I don't know why they all left. So that is a curiosity of mine. Okay. So we have many resolutions left on the agenda still. Okay. I want to open it up. Sorry.
What? I was going to say, can I make a point of, I actually don't know if there's like an official motion to make, but can I make a statement of some sort really quick?
Not right
about,
now.
About the resolution and about voting?
I don't, maybe it's, I really want to get to the agenda. I'm not trying to silence you. I want to open the floor up really quickly for any co-sponsors of a resolution if they would like to amend the agenda so that they can discuss it sooner. Okay. I think there are some that are more time sensitive than others. And again, we have many Jewish members of the Cornell community who are on this call and would like to be able to present their resolution sooner. Zion, I know you messaged me privately that you are a co-sponsor of some resolutions. If you're still on this call, would you like to motion to, like, would you want an SA member to motion to amend the agenda so that you can?
Yes, I'm not resolutions? I'm not able to motion, but I would appreciate it.
Wonderful. Is there?
Could I just do 28? I don't, or 29, the one related to Good Samaritan laws. I don't have time for the other one. For sure. I don't want to be rude.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much, Sion. Okay, so there has been a request from a community member. As chair, I would look favorably upon a motion to amend the agenda to move Resolution 29 up.
I'll motion to amend the agenda to move Resolution 29 up.
Is there a second? There has been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing as there is no dissent, we're going to now move into discussion of Resolution 29. Any co-sponsors, feel free to unmute yourself and introduce yourselves. The floor is yours and present your resolution.
So can I go? Absolutely. So the resolution is fairly straightforward. I'd like to keep it brief just because I kind of want to run. But basically, in New York State, there's something called Good Samaritan laws. It's in the case that an individual either has consumed too much alcohol or has had some sort of drug use that's illegal. So like say the person was underage and was a 19-year-old student who drank too much and both individuals were underage drinking, it covers the individual who is in a health emergency and the individual who makes the phone call, assuming they call in a support network from legal consequences. They do this primarily so that individuals don't allow a friend of theirs to die so that they don't get in trouble with like legal ramifications. That said, Good Samaritan laws are very helpful in New York State, but they're a little bit more narrow than what I'd like to see at Cornell. They only include the individual calling and the individual that needs medical attention. So if there's three individuals all drinking, saying they're all 19 and they're all drinking, and one passes out, if one of the individuals calls the authorities or some support network, both of those individuals are covered, but they risk getting their third friend in trouble. So the reason that I think it's really important we extend this, the Good Samaritan laws, is so that no student feels like they can't call for support. So what I'm suggesting the Cornell Assembly ask the Cornell University to do is extend it to cover all students in the general area. And also Good Samaritan laws are fairly clear that it needs to be the individual has to have used an illegal substance and in need of like direct medical attention, and we want to change it just if they need support. So that way, if there's a student who drank too much, but they're not like passed out, but we still want them to get support, even though we're not necessarily trying to make a statement that Cornell allows underage drinking or drugs or any use like that. We do want it very clear that Cornell takes a statement that the priority of student safety comes above everything else. And I feel like this will encourage individuals to have a safer experience here at Cornell overall.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that presentation, Sion. Morgan Baker, I know you're a co-sponsor as well. Would you like to say anything else? Or if not, actually, Morgan Baker's not here. I apologize. I forgot. Alrighty. Thank you so much for presenting. Do we have any questions or debate on this resolution? Let me check the hands. Seeing as there, okay, I do have a hand from Representative Reuning. The floor is yours.
Hey, I don't have an issue with the resolution itself. I just want to propose two amendments just like for clarity's sake. Well, first, your last name's not in the sponsored by, which is just something you might want to fix. And for the abstract, like it's not specific on how you want to extend the Samaritan laws. And I just think for the purpose of getting your message across, it'd be better if you were like specifically to say that Cornell extends Good Samaritan laws to all members of the Cornell community present at the time of the call or something like that, right? I just think it's more specific and more clear.
Absolutely. So just to clarify, for one, there was a little bit of a mistake that was just a miscommunication. So the one that I sent forward might not be the actual current one. I think it only has my name as a co-sponsor as well. So I don't know if that's the one that at least I saw on Instagram, but the one that you're looking at might be that way. It's actually worded fairly vaguely. I know that typically how student government is supposed to work in my prior experience, I've been involved in a lot of student government, is you pass a resolution and then you go to the administration and you sit down at a table and you actually work it out. But this will show that the majority of students support the idea of expanding the law and get the conversation hopefully moving with the administration. Then I will be more than happy to meet with any of the deans or VPs or any other administration members that I will be working with to actually figure out how we're going to word it and change it in our code of conduct. And then of course there will also be an aspect of promoting it so students know this so they're more likely to call, because what's the point of making sure they don't get in trouble if they're not even aware of that fact?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for responding, Sion, and thank you for your question. I see some questions or hands up. I'll recognize Salam Boldai, Representative Boldai. The floor is yours.
Hi. My question was that from, like, I agree with this, but how is this, it's like, to me, it seems like this is just a way to protect frats from, like, all the misconduct that they already have. So how is this going to ensure that that's not going to happen?
Absolutely. So actually, I've worked on this resolution with a couple other colleges in the past, and the concern that's always brought up is Greek life. How will Greek life relate to this? I'm personally not going to take a stand on if I like Greek life or not, but what I will take a stand on is it helps all students regardless of your stand on Greek life. So if you're a student that's attending a Greek life party and you're out there with your sorority brothers or sisters or however that works, and you are somebody in that group overdrinks, right? The big concern should be that student safety. So think about it in a perspective like this. Say you have a freshman who's rushing. If they, even if the pledging's not good that they're overdrinking and everything, if they do overdrink, if the fellow people at Greek life decide that they don't want to get in trouble, they're less likely to call for assistance. So this, if anything, is made for Greek life so that individuals are feel more comfortable calling in support. So I understand your concern, but this does not actually cover if an individual says, listen, there's a hazing incident and reports like a problem with the with Greek life, if that makes sense. It's only used if you're calling for support. So I don't see why any SA member or any student, or to be completely honest, any individual in all of New York State would specifically go against allowing people to feel more likely to call in support if a student is either having a drug overdose or drank too much for the night.
Wonderful. Thank you for your response, Zion. Do we have any other questions? I saw one earlier, but I think it has been put down. Okay. I will recognize community member Karen Cardona. The floor is yours.
Hi. Yeah, I understand your explanation. And like I said, or well, I haven't said, but I agree with what's being said that it would be very helpful. But I wanted to clarify, sorry, I did not have time to read the resolution. I just wanted to ask that when like you say that the expanding it would mean protecting all people present within that area, does that like, what does that mean? Like, does it mean within like a certain geographic like radius or what? Because in that sense, I don't see how it wouldn't protect frats, if you know what I mean. But like I said, I haven't read the resolution, so I'm not sure of the logistics or stuff.
Absolutely. So in theory, it's if you're worried if it protects frats, I would say that it protects frats in the sense that if a person is over drinking and they need support at a Greek house, they it will protect the entire frat and they won't get in trouble. That said, what's happening now is a lot worse, where individuals will drink too much and they'll need support and they know they need support. And this is not just at Cornell. This is just a very thing that's across all the universities in New York State that have Greek life, or honestly, that have college students, which I think most universities have. And so basically, if an individual drinks too much, say they know they need support, they're worried to call in for themselves because they're worried about their friends, because most people that are in a Greek house drinking are drinking with other friends, or that are using drugs or doing drugs with friends. And honestly, this protects their friends, making them more likely to get support. And in my personal viewpoint, and I think the viewpoint of the majority of students on campus, getting support shouldn't be something that you have to decide between protecting your friends from a like getting some sort of reprimand or some sort of like punishment for underage drinking or using drugs, but it should be something about focusing on if the individual is like going to be safe. And I feel like since this is if you're going to make a decision on what's more important, protecting a student's safety or protecting Greek life, I feel like even if you're anti-Greek life, protecting a student should always come first. So I think that at the end of the day, if you're anti-Greek life, I understand that there might be some parts of this that you don't see as a complete win, versus if you're pro-Greek life, you're going to see this as a complete win. But at the end of the day, you can't see this as a loss.
Wonderful. Thank you for your response, Zion. I'm going to recognize two people on the speakers list. So first, Rachel Horrigan, the floor is yours.
Hi. So yeah, I definitely like the good Sam law, and I like what I've heard in terms of applying it to everyone who's present. I think one of the concerns is, you know, if a Greek house is, you know, doing something wrong in terms of hazing. My understanding is that no one will get in trouble for partaking in like the drinking or the drugs, but after the fact, after the the student receives medical attention and everyone has amnesty for partaking in those activities, the student could then, if there was hazing, report that, and then the frat would still, or sorority, the Greek house could still be liable for that. Would that be correct, my understanding?
So ideally, if hazing is, they wouldn't necessarily get in trouble in the aspect of what's directly used with the alcohol, but if hazing's happening, Cornell has a fairly strict policy on hazing, and I wouldn't want to be touching the policy on hazing. So if they're getting hazed, I'm honestly not very familiar with how the hazing process works for each individual frat, because I know it does differ, but for the most part, hazing wouldn't be acceptable. But as far as the drinking aspect goes, the individuals wouldn't get in trouble for drinking, but they could be in trouble for like forcing other students to drink. It just would take the responsibility of them actually consuming the illegal drug or alcohol out of the equation. So say several leaders in a Greek house were to force the new brothers to participate in drinking, they could get in trouble for forcing people to drink, but they wouldn't get in trouble for them personally drinking, even if they're underage. Does that kind of make sense?
Yep, absolutely. That's what I was going towards. So thank you for clarifying that.
Wonderful. Thank you for that question and response. I'm going to recognize William Henderson next, and then after that, I'll move to Karen, and then I think we should be done by then. William, the floor is yours.
Hi, I am speaking on behalf of having been an RA on campus for a year. In the past, I was an RA on North Campus, so I saw many students coming in from hazing, you know, coming from Donlin, coming from all parts of North Campus. I'm just wondering why we don't feel like fraternities should be reprimanded for causing their students to drink excessively. Why shouldn't they face those repercussions for such an action?
Absolutely. So I'll address your question with a question. If you are a student and you're deciding to go to a frat house and you are in the process of a hazing issue, and let's say that it's not necessarily hazing. Let's say just you're drinking with other frat individuals. If you see one of your friends is overdrunk, right, and they have too much and you're worried about their medical condition, maybe they're starting to like foam at the mouth or something, and you've given them water and they're just puking it up, so you're starting to get very concerned, aren't you as an individual more likely to not call in support networks due to the fact that you could get everybody there in trouble? And is that going to slow you down and make you think for a second? Now, maybe you personally, it wouldn't, but now think about all of the Cornell students. I can say with a very strong level of confidence that some students would think twice about making a phone call when it comes to the safety of their fellow students. I've seen it before in the past where I've needed to make a phone call because other students wouldn't. And I feel like you shouldn't make it between, oh, I'm going to get ostracized from the social group, or I'm going to save my friend from over drinking. Now, is that a question that you should consider? No, of course you should pick your friend, I would assume, but why do we even make it a choice?
Wonderful. Thank you for that response. We have new hands up on the speakers list. So we follow the first speakers list. So if you haven't spoken yet, I will recognize you. I don't believe Mariah has spoken yet. Karen, you'll be called on after everyone who hasn't spoken yet has been recognized. Mariah, the floor is yours. Yeah. I'm going to start doing time, so 1 minute, y'all.
Yeah, I'm just going to say something quick. I know people are concerned about Greek life. I mean, I don't care about Greek life at all. I think Greek life should be abolished, and y'all know that. However, people in Greek life are human beings, and they are students. And, like, regardless of the fact that they're in a frat should not mean that they let their friend die because they're scared to call for help. And so I guess the point of this resolution is just, like, ensuring that they can call for help and they don't let people die because they're scared of getting people in trouble. But I don't think that this resolution should have, and I don't think it does have anything to do with like OSFL, like the Office of Sorority and Fraternity Life, and things like that, where they would actually get the frat in trouble for the hazing itself. But as far as like making that call to 911 and saying like, my friend is foaming at the mouth, I need help, like people shouldn't be scared to do that regardless of whether or not they're in a frat or sorority.
Wonderful. Thank you. Next, I'm going to recognize Yusuf.
I make a motion to vote.
Oh, okay. So there has been a motion to vote. We do have members on the speakers list, but there's been a motion to vote. Is there a second?
Okay.
Is there any dissent? Okay. Seeing as there is no dissent, we're going to move into voting on this resolution. SA members, please cast your votes in the chat in the next 10 seconds. 5 more seconds. And if you're abstaining, you can message me privately. Okay. With a vote of 16-0-2, I think. Sorry, is that 16 to, how many members do we have, right? Oh, okay. Yes, 16-0-2-3. This resolution passes. Congratulations, Zion. I do know you have to go, so please enjoy your holiday and your family.
Can I ask one thing? Can I ask that resolution that somebody make a motion, given that a lot of the individuals that wrote Resolution 28, myself included, are off this call or will be in a second? Could I ask that assembly member make a motion to table that to the first meeting of next semester, given that this one's the last one of this semester and most of the co-sponsors are not here? So I don't think it'd be appropriate to vote on something where half of the co-sponsors aren't present.
I agree.
A motion to table.
Thank you.
So to the next call.
Thank you, Amari. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Oh, okay. Please state your dissent, Uche.
Can we just remove? Actually, never mind. I'll remove my dissent.
Okay, wonderful. So please cast your votes if you want to motion to table. I also want to, I also don't believe we should discuss Resolution 21.
Wait, actually, can I dissent?
What is your dissent, Uche?
I don't think that we should pass this resolution at all. This is the watered-down version of Resolution 30/11, and I really think that we should get rid of it. I don't think it makes sense to keep this.
Thank you for.
Am I allowed to respond?
So we're in the middle of voting right now, guys. So someone has stated dissent. We're going to do a vote-to-vote right now. Okay. Okay, just cast your votes in the chat if you want to vote on whether or not to table this to the next meeting of the semester. I'm also going to, like,
and can I make order?
What is your point? Okay, we're in voting right now. Once we finish the vote-to-vote, you can make your point of order.
Oh, I thought point of orders can interrupt speakers.
But we're in voting, not speakers, I think.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll just, I'm
sorry. Not. Yeah, again, definitely right after the vote.
Could we do a point of information? I just want to clarify exactly what we're voting for.
Yes. Point of, okay, so right now we are voting on whether or not to vote to table this resolution 28, campus policing reform, to the next meeting of the essay session, which is next semester. If you vote yes, this means you believe we should proceed to vote on whether to table. If you vote no, it means you do not believe you should proceed to vote to table. Okay. Cast your votes in the next, like, 10 seconds. And if you're abstaining, please message me privately. Okay. Is this everyone who's voted? So with a vote of 8-9 to, how many abstentions is that? 1, I think. This motion, okay, so we're not going to vote on tabling today. Okay, Michael, where does that leave us right now?
You just continue on in the agenda, I believe. Yeah. So you won't be tabling it.
So we will not be tabling this, which means that we can, okay. There is a motion made to table to next semester that we did not vote on that. I technically think we're still in discussion on whether or not to table it. Is that wrong? That is correct.
I would draw my motion to table. Can we, like, move through the agenda? Like, there's other resolutions here, other people who matter.
Yes. Let me clarify very quickly. Zion, anything that does not get discussed today will be automatically tabled to the next first meeting of the student assembly.
Am I able to put in a request? Can I give you my phone number and have someone text me when it comes up? Because I would like to be present, but I have I would like to participate in some part of Hanukkah. So is it possible that I send my number to Noah Watson and I get a text so that I can come back on the call when it comes up?
If I got design. You're good. I'll text you.
Great.
Thanks, Mike.
Wonderful. See you next time. Okay.
Can I make a motion?
Make your motion. What's your motion?
Motion to remove Resolution 28 from the agenda.
Who seconded that?
Me, Lucy.
Okay.
I dissent.
Thank you. State your dissent, Andrea.
I don't think it's it. Like, the majority of the people that defend the resolution are not here, and I guess they would like to have a say on it.
Thank you, Andrea. Personally, I agree. I don't think we should make that motion, but we will move into, so that there's been dissent, we're going to vote on whether or not to remove this resolution. I don't even know if that's possible, actually, but.
Can I make a point of order?
What is your point of order?
Yeah, like, if there's dissent, don't we move into discussion before we immediately vote? I have my hand raised.
Okay. I was not looking at the participants list. Okay, please raise your hand if you want to speak on this. Okay, great. Mariah, go for it. I'm going to one minute. Yes.
Yeah. So I was just gonna say, I think that we can deal with this next semester, because I don't think we should talk about it today necessarily. However, to Andrea's point, I don't think it's fair to say that all the people who co-sponsored are not here. That was by their own choice. They left to cause a scene so that way they wouldn't have to vote on disarmament. And so the fact that they are not here is none of our fault. And if we wanted to discuss it now, we could, and we could vote this down. It is not our problem that they're not here. It's their, the only problem that it is theirs. Like, they left on their own volition, and like, that's none of our fault.
Okay, thank you. I will clarify. I got multiple messages in the chat that SA members were like, I have to leave right now. Some of them provided reasons that I don't know how to validate. So for instance, class or an exam for someone. I can ask for validation on that. I will say that they did provide, some of them did provide excuses. I'm going to now recognize Representative Rayoding. Tomas, sorry, the floor is yours if you want to be on this.
Sorry, I'm not used to being addressed by my last name. I was going to echo what Mariah said. Like, I understand it's Hanukkah for some members of our assembly, but that's not true for everyone. Like, let's be real, y'all left because you were trying to break quorum. The only one with any dignity here is Lucas, who stayed and said no with his chest. So, like, let's not pretend that they, you know, everyone had something come up. Like, y'all were trying to pull something. That being said, like, I'm not sure how you remove something from an agenda. Like, I think we should just table indefinitely and then vote no on it when it comes up, because, like, I just think that's the right way to go about it.
Thank you, Tomas. Let me wait. I heard a point of information. I did want to clarify something really quickly. To remove this, you would have it's a motion to amend the agenda to remove this, and that's again a 2/3 vote. Lucy, I know you had a point of information. I think
that was my question. If we could remove it, so I'm like confused by what's going on right now. Can someone clarify?
If you want to take this off the agenda for today, which means that it will not automatically be tabled, then you will have to motion to amend the agenda to remove it from the agenda for today. That would require a 2/3 vote. Speaking not as president or as chair, I personally don't think we should do that. They're not here. Again, for the same reason that I don't think we should vote on things when co-sponsors are not present. Okay, great. We still have some hands. Do you all still want to speak? I see Tomas's hand and Lucas's hand. I don't think Lucas has spoken yet. Okay, Lucas, I'm going to recognize you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so as a co-sponsor of that resolution, I would definitely look favorably on that motion to, I'm forgetting the words, table indefinitely. I think there's no reason to slate it to say that we need to discuss it at the first meeting, but I think that accomplishes kind of that goal of moving forward with the meeting, but lets us figure out what to do next semester. Great. So that'd be my recommendation, what I would be in support of.
Are you making an official motion to table?
I don't think we can right yet because we're still debating.
Right, but we're still thinking.
That would be my recommendation if they're willing to retract or whatnot.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Lucas. Wonderful. So we're we're in the middle of voting on whether or not to table this. I think we were on, we're going to vote right now because we just had discussion of whether not to vote to vote. So please cast your votes in the chat. I will clarify what a yes vote means and what a no vote means. If you vote yes, it means you believe that we should proceed with a vote to amend the agenda. If you vote no, it means you do not believe you should proceed to vote to motion to amend the agenda. Please cast your votes in the next 10 seconds, SA voting members.
Can I make a point of order, actually?
We're in the middle of voting. So after voting closes.
But it's about this voting procedure. I don't think you asked Uche if he wants to withdraw his motion, since this was about dissent. So we might not even need to be doing.
Oh, true. Thank you for that. Uche, do you withdraw your motion? To your dissent? Do you withdraw your dissent?
Yeah, I withdraw.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Mariah. I appreciate it. Great. So we're still going to continue business as usual. Technically, I think we're supposed to go to Resolution 17, reduction of the Convocation Committee student activity fee allocation. Uche, as a co-sponsor, would you like to address whether or not you would want this to be on the agenda for today? Okay. Seeing as Uche is the sole co-sponsor.
I'm sorry. Are you talking about for Resolution 17?
Yeah, sorry, the Convocation Committee one.
I got word things are worked out. So I'll be motioning to table this for right now.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to move past that. I think if the co-sponsor doesn't want to discuss it, we don't have to amend the agenda and we're going to move forward. Great. Now we're on to new business, Resolution 21. Again, I'm providing general advice I'm not voting. I'm president and chair. I don't know if we should discuss it today again because just many of the assembly members are not here. We also would end in about 5 minutes. This is up to the will of the body right now, though.
Yeah, I'm a co-sponsor on this, and we do have some stipulations about the very beginning of spring semester, so I wouldn't feel comfortable not discussing this right now because it is our last meeting, and there's stuff in this resolution about the very beginning of spring semester. I'm happy to hear from some of the other co-sponsors. I know Layla's on the call. I don't know what you think, but I don't think it makes sense to wait for this because this is the whole point of this resolution is that we're going to implement something at the very beginning of spring semester.
Okay.
Can I make a motion to extend the meeting to 7:45?
Second.
Okay, there's been a second. We're going to, is there any dissent? Cast your votes in the chat then, or okay.
Whatever information you can pass by unanimous consent then.
Okay, I don't think it would be unanimous consent seeing as we do have no votes, but thank you for that reminder. Okay. Please cast your votes in the next 5 seconds. And this is on whether or not we should be extending the meeting to 7:45. Okay, I'm going to call the vote. With a vote of 9 to 5 to 4, this motion to extend does pass. Okay, we're going to continue with what we were discussing, which is Resolution 21. Mariah, as a co-sponsor, has spoken. Technically, there have been no official motions made about this agenda, about this resolution. Technically, it can be presented right now. Co-sponsors, would you like to present your resolution right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll start presenting. How much time do I have? Honestly, I actually don't even think it'll take that long to explain this, but just so I know, how much time do I have? 10 minutes? 5? Actually, I'll go with 5. I'll just keep it short. And then Layla, you can say literally whatever you want as well. And any other co-sponsors, because I think there are other people on this call. We've been hearing a lot of concerns from the community about accountability within the SA. I think there's a lot of people who are dissatisfied with the student assembly right now. The VP or the research and accountability VP position and committee creation was all in an effort to have an unbiased and neutral arm of the SA that would keep SA members accountable. They would go to, people could go to the committee and the VP for any type of internal conflict, fact-finding missions, resolution info, voting histories, all that type of stuff. Basically just internal matters relating to the essay. This resolution was written before any of the Annie drama happened, just to preface with that. But basically this resolution is calling for the chair of the Research and Accountability Committee to be a regular community member and not an essay member. This is in an effort to give power back to the community and holding us accountable, and further from that, remove any sort of conflict within the SA. Because I said on the call earlier that I've had personal issues with the VPRA, and the whole point of this position, right, is that anyone can go to them with issues. And so I think that with a community member who's kind of hopefully removed from SA politics, that issue would be resolved. And then again, just really wanting to give community members power and authority in like holding us accountable. Leila?
Yeah, so Mariah basically gave like a summary, short summary about the resolution. Another change, so the Research and Accountability Committee currently houses 4 SA members and 6 community members. So we wanted to increase more community input. So we're changing that to 2 SA members and 8 community members. And the chair would also be a community member. It makes more sense to have an outsider person kind of holding the SA accountable because it just doesn't make sense for the SA to like investigate itself. That defeats the whole purpose of accountability. And if any other co-sponsor wants to speak, you can go ahead.
If not, we can motion to vote.
Okay, motion wait. There has been a motion to vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay, seeing as there's no dissent, we're going to move into voting. I just want to count really fast to make sure we're still at quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, so this keeps changing. 1, 2, 3. I think we're at 15 members, right? And that is quorum at 29. Okay. SA members, please cast your vote if you're abstaining.
Oh, Gina has a point of information.
Hi, Gina.
Hi. I just need some clarification, if I may. Related to the last resolve clause and elections, is that elections will be held based on a majority vote of the SA? The SA will vote in the first week to decide whether to have elections, or elections will be held for the vote of the assembly members? I'm just not sure, so that we can make sure that our office is prepared for whatever elections are necessary.
Sorry, maybe elections isn't clear. We're just going to send out like a committee application like we do for all the other committees. But the election will be like an internal election where the SA votes on the applications. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. SA members, I'm closing voting in like 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2. If you're not voting, I'm going to assume that's an abstention, or message me privately if you're abstaining. Hold up, let me count. I'm sorry, I just need to make sure. 1. Samuel, did you vote? Okay, he did vote. So we're at 13-2, 0-2, 2. I think this vote passes. Okay. Okay, 13, thank you. 13-0-2. This vote does pass. It's 7:30 right now, which would have been original end time. But okay, I think we just dipped below quorum, like right after the vote ended. Sam just messaged me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so we are below quorum right now, which means that this meeting cannot continue. This means that all the resolutions on the agenda for today will be tabled until next meeting, as we cannot continue with business right now. Is there like technically we're just done, like, you know, we could make a motion to adjourn, but the meeting is like over.
Can I ask a question, or
if does this have to do? Okay, sure, what's your question?
Is there like, because I know some of the resolutions it needed to be passed today because it has to happen for the spring semester, like it can't be done during the spring semester. So is there anywhere in the rules that talks about like not for quorum, but like a special meeting after today, or no?
Yes, there is language, and we can review that after this meeting ends. Like technically we're not even meeting right now because we don't have quorum, but there is language in both our charter and our bylaws to hold a special meeting if needed.
All right, motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Great, we're adjourned. Have a good night, everyone. Happy Hanukkah.
Bye.
For those who celebrate.
Hey, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.